Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Welcome to Friday High 612. Who had a good Thursday night? Go ahead, raise your hand. I did. I had a great night.
Yes, you did.
I'm waiting. The only one. Does anyone want to know?
I do want to know.
First off, how was your birthday?
It was very nice. Thank God. A great Thursday night because I had my family and we had a nice dinner. And
did you have Lou Malnati's?
We did have Lou Malnati's, Mary, and it was great.
What's your Lou Malnati's pizza? What do you do on a pizza for you?
What do you think? It's got to be vegetarian.
No, not really.
Really?
I mean, if you're going to have pizza, you're going to have pizza.
And if you're going to have family, you got to have a little meat on that because family won't show up.
They would show up. We had an assortment. Please. We had a deep dish pepperoni, then a thin cheese, and a thin spinach. So there was a variety.
I mean, I like the thin.
I do, too.
I like it paper thin. I like it David Bowie thin.
How do they do their deep dish pepperoni? Is the pepperoni under the stuff or is it on top of the
stuff? It's both. Yes, but it's in there. Yeah.
Yeah, so you got to drive that blood pressure up to about 600.
Yeah.
So
who cares? It's his birthday.
It's his birthday. Speaking of that, Dave, I don't want you to think that I forgot about your birthday yesterday. And that yesterday when I was at Lincoln Square having lunch with Maureen and Abigail, mm-hmm. there's a Urban General store there. It's got some cool gifty stuff in it. I don't want you to think I went in there and I saw a couple things that I found amusing that I would get for you. Because that's, as far as you know, not what happened. And I got the card, too. And I think you and I are at a point in our life where, you know, it's nice that people get cards. And it's nice that people write certain sentiments on a card. But people don't work that hard.
Are you opening your own card?
I'm opening his card. People, you know, they write things on it. But, yeah, you look at it, you go, oh, isn't that nice, right?
Right.
So, Dave, what I'd like to do now live on the show in front of hundreds of thousands of people,
mm-hmm.
and thank you for listening, is to fill out the card exactly as you would like it to be filled out.
Oh, this is
let me just tell you about your card. It's a picture of Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the front. It says, happy birthday. I hope you live forever.
Oh,
see what we did there?
Wishing you happy birthday, Dave.
But see, there's a double meaning there.
Oh, it's blank. So Dave's going to have to come up with a saying.
So do you prefer, hey, buddy, or dear Dave, or what would you like me to address it with?
Well, you're not going to call me Meathead again.
No.
So I would say, hey, buddy. Hey, buddy. I like that.
Yeah, because I call you buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, buddy. And then how would you like me to refer to your birthday or wish you a birthday greeting? Anything in particular?
First of all, it's belated, so
I wasn't going to bring that up, Mary.
That's a good point. So let me just throw one line in.
Okay.
Sorry I missed your birthday.
Sorry I suck. Okay, now, what comes after that?
Hope you have a great year.
Hope you have... You want me to commit to the full year?
Well, yeah, because that'll carry me to the next birthday.
A great year.
God willing, I make it.
Oh, are you going to write God willing?
Hope you have a great year. God willing, you'll make it. That's very good. Yes, that came right out of Dave's mouth.
Go Cats!
And go Cats?
Go Cats.
You don't want to say it that loud because you might scare him, though, because it's...
Oh, good thing, because now that he's older. Yeah.
And go Cats.
I had to yell at Dave yesterday.
It's more like go Cats.
All the best.
Steve and Joe.
Steve Cochran mornings, and just in case you forgot who I was.
Yeah, 6 to 10.
6 to 10 a.m. WGN. So what I'm going to do now is put that card, your card that you've written, in your envelope, and then and put it back in the bag of the gift that I bought way ahead of time. I didn't buy it yesterday. And then give that to you.
Are we going
to
wrap the gift on the air, too?
It's already wrapped.
I thought you were... Carving me.
Okay, wrapped is a loose. That's a loose.
Yeah, put it in a bag with a piece of tissue.
It's in a bag.
Paper.
There is a ribbon, but that either came from Maureen.
No, from the store.
The store gave the ribbon. Okay, so
nobody wraps presents anymore. I do because I think it's fun to
unwrap
them.
Dudes don't wrap presents for other dudes.
I know.
That's why gift bags were invented.
See, we had a card yesterday, so you could have saved on the card and just not gotten one.
But he did sign that
card. He signed the card yesterday.
Yeah, I signed a lot of cards.
So now I have two cards.
So we don't have time to talk about why I had a great night, because, Dave, you took all the time. But we'll do that soon, because I'm going to talk about somebody that most people know, or a lot of people know, certainly. All right, at 6:16, let's do the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Don't get your kicks. With the top 666, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Item number one, Ed Burke indicted on expanded federal racketeering and bribery charges. Mayor Lori Lightfoot calls on Ed Burke to resign following the federal indictment. You got to wonder if she had any word that was coming down. I don't know that, I don't believe she's supposed to, Steve, but she certainly had no problem cutting him off at the knees in the meeting the other day.
Yeah, she's not supposed to know, but it wouldn't rule it out, because she was a former assistant U.S. attorney for the Northern District of Illinois, so she could still have friends over there who maybe gave her a heads up. I think she kind of had his number at the beginning of this week, regardless of what happened yesterday, I think.
Item number two, last day of May, also the last day scheduled for the Illinois General Assembly spring session. This is such a funny term for... Oh, it's a spring session in Springfield. They got a host of whole list of still unresolved items from Governor Pritzker's hoped-for agenda: the fate of state budget, expanded abortion rights, legalized marijuana, a massive public works program, and taxes to pay for it, and legalized sports betting and expanded casino gambling, all in the hands of the legislature. Known for their speed, let's see if we get decisions on those today.
I saw, when I went to bed last night, I still hadn't seen any kind of printed budget outline yet. Have you?
No, and that's not a good sign, considering today's the day. By the way, Patty Vasquez is in Springfield, and she'll check in on the show later, and she'll tell us if anything's actually happening. There's also a story out today about more stalling and tomfoolery involving Mike Madigan. And I haven't ripped on Madigan in a while, so that'll be fun for me. Next! Oh, call now if you want to be Lou's first caller, 312-981-7200. Got something going on at your house, 312-981-7200. Police have released hundreds of pages of reports in the Jussie Smollett case. We'll see if it's enough to interrupt the news cycle. I'm pretty sure we won't be doing much with it here. Next, President Trump announced that he could impose a 5% tax on all imported goods from Mexico beginning June 10th to push that government to stop unauthorized migrants from crossing the border. The tariffs would gradually increase to 25% unless Mexico acted. It's sort of a Gambino crime family kind of move.
Right, and the idea, again, that Mexico's not going to pay this money. This will be American consumers and companies who will be paying this tax.
Well, you know, it's going to kill. It's going to kill farmers.
It's going to kill a bunch of stuff. I mean, the auto industry, we went through some of these numbers this morning in the opening bell. There's about $350 billion in trade with Mexico. That was the 2018 numbers. I mean, $93 billion in vehicles, $64 billion in machinery. They're their biggest supplier, one of our biggest importers of agriculture products.
You got to remember,
5 million jobs involved.
Folks got to remember, we buy a lot of stuff from China. We sell way more stuff to Mexico.
Yeah.
So this is as asinine as it gets. Next, billion-dollar loss for Uber. The ride-hailing giant's first quarterly report as a publicly traded company has raised questions about where it's going to find new growth. All they got to do is find a way to make up $1 billion.
So remember, you forgot to buy that. So there you go.
Yeah, and by the way, the market is going to get crushed today because of this Mexico thing, because of one tweet. So just a heads up. I mean, the early numbers, Steve, I assume, are pretty ugly.
Yeah, the Dow futures are off nearly 300 points. Yeah. Everything's off more than a percent, almost a percent and a half, and it's not even 6:30 this morning.
So between 8:30 and 8:35, have some Dramamine handy when the market opens. And then there's this. Not sure of the results of the Miss Spelling Bee, but eight contestants were crowned co-champs of the Scripps National Spelling Bee yesterday because the competition ran out of words. How could you run out of words?
I don't get that.
This is like, remember when Kentucky Fried Chicken ran out of chicken? This doesn't make any sense. But they ran out of words. We have a full investigative report coming up. 312-981-7200 if you want to be the first caller. Yes, birthday boy.
You know what they could have asked them to spell?
What?
Holzhauser.
Holzhauser would have been great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's a proper name. Yeah, I don't think it...
Yeah, I can't use that.
Can't use
it. Well, it's also German for one again. I don't know if you know that.
Sure. Yes.
At 6:20, we come back with Lou after this.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers. We won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Good morning, my friend.
How are you? Good morning.
Dave's birthday was yesterday.
I saw that. Happy birthday, Dave.
Thank you, Lou.
I saw a lovely picture of Dave. We should all look so good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Got my carefully purchased gift, which was...
That you got at Walgreens?
Are you kidding? I wouldn't take Dave that lightly. it's a couple of shot glasses that are set in a game that's called what?
Drinking with Lincoln.
Drinking with Lincoln.
Which makes me think of the thing with Nick on Thursdays where I want to know what Nick is thinking.
Yeah, how about that? Right. And then what else did you get, Dave?
Oh, and I also got some socks.
What do the socks say?
The socks say, worst gift ever.
See, that kind of sums it up.
So. Who doesn't need a good pair of socks, though?
No, yeah. I'm very happy with the socks.
Are they like quality socks? Like,
Yeah, they better be. They cost me $37.50. What? Wow. Did I say that out loud?
I don't consider them the worst gift ever.
Thank you very much. Until you get home.
Dave doesn't like to have his feet cold.
Michael's in Hoffman Estates. Good morning, Michael.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing fine. Congratulations, you're the first caller. You've already won. What did Michael win, Samber?
Michael is going to get a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC.
All right, and Michael, what is your trouble?
My basement, I had some water in the basement, so we had to rip up the carpet, but now, we won't have that issue again. We want to put down flooring, you know, and we went to different locations, and they told us about vinyl that we can put in the basement and so forth, and it's really confusing. What does Lou suggest putting in the basement? Because what we want is if the water goes down, we want to be able to, you know, mop it up and not have the problems with carpet.
Yeah, it's a huge pain.
It's a pain. And what we have, we want to put something on the staircase going down. We had carpet going down the staircase.
Oh, a runner.
And everything matched. And now they're telling us we can't put flooring down on the staircase because it's a curved staircase.
Oh, you got a lot going on, Michael. Let me get you an answer. Lou, sponge? Yeah, would sponge work?
Well, a lot of sponges. I mean, I think, Michael, the first thing you really do need to address is trying to stop that water. And I think
he said it was solved.
It was solved?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's why he's ready to do
floor. Now he's ready to do the floor.
All right, I'm sorry. The luxury vinyl tile that is out there now is really what's taking over laminate. And it is, much of it is 100% waterproof. And there's a couple different choices out there. There's kinds that click together, which I prefer. And then there's also what they call loose lay, which literally... It's called loose lay.
Okay.
And that is a vinyl tile that you put down, and they literally just go next to each other. Now, the benefit of that one is that if there was water, literally 2 feet of water, you could take this stuff up, take it outside, let it dry, and put it back down again. The same is true for the click-together floor. I like that because it stays consistent, more consistent when it's down. The loose
lay. And is it fun for the family, the click-together?
It's not the easy. I mean, it's easy to install, but it's not. It's fun. Yes, it's fun.
Okay, that's what
I'm going to go with fun.
Okay.
But they do make treads for stairs out of this material as well. It's a special order. You're not going to find that at the big box. You'll have to go to the manufacturer directly. But you can buy larger pieces of it that can be custom cut to fit over that. And then there will be a nosing that goes down.
A nosing.
But that absolutely can be done. And what you're looking for is luxury vinyl, 100% waterproof floor.
What about his runner's issue with the stairway that curves?
That's what I meant. That there are custom stairs, material you can use for stairs, even curved.
Well,
it isn't anything that's going to be in stock. You have to go directly to the manufacturer.
So you'd order that from a curved stair company?
No. Go to a good flooring company as opposed to big box where there's a good selection and talk to them about the staircase. If you can bring some photographs in there, that'll help as well.
It's like when Lou
entertain you.
Lou just goes, oh, God, it's so tiring.
Because I want to get him the answer.
Well, I'm not here for that.
It's like you're a little bit like Al Roker sometimes when I work.
What does that mean?
Well, when I work with Al, sometimes he just wants to talk.
Ah, yeah.
You know?
Well, it's not about me talking. It's about me interrupting you.
Well,
269 texter. Hey, Lou, my faucet is dripping. If it goes on for more than 4 hours, should I see my doctor?
Oh, God. Yes, fix the faucet. You'd be amazed at how a dripping faucet can cost you thousands of dollars a year.
Well, I don't know this. Why is that? It's not just annoying?
It's, well, I mean, you've got a water meter. And you're paying for it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And it literally is gallons and gallons of water, not to mention bad for the environment.
Hmm.
Lou, I have a whiny staff question.
Go ahead.
I had a driveway sealed early yesterday.
What was that about?
Well, it was a little rain.
You seem very judgmental today.
I mean, it seems fine.
Okay, you didn't get any
rain? Sabre, don't you agree? He seems very judgmental.
He's quite a groan.
He's very judgmental.
You know why he's cranky? Because he's not eating.
That's a good point.
I mean,
that's a good point.
I mean, yeah, I'm not cranky.
That's why your skinny Lou is not fun to be around.
It's not true.
Yeah.
I just saw
him punch a guy yesterday.
It was early yesterday that they came. And, you know, I know it's like 24, 48 hours. Can we drive on it tonight to park in the garage? Or should we wait till Saturday?
I mean, really, 24 hours would be great because if there's pockets that go, you know, where there's, if it's an older driveway, I worry about the weight of the car, all of a sudden you hit that little pocket, you peel it up, you'll be so disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the biggest problem you're having is the disorganization of having the cars on the street.
I know.
You want the cars off the street.
This is my favorite time of year, though. Even though we can't park in our garage, none of the people can turn around in our circle driveway.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
So I love having the flag up.
Why don't you just keep the flag up?
I'm thinking about
round.
Keeping the one side up.
Yeah, get a stylized flag, keep it up
like
year
the
round.
People that still have their snow poles up for plows.
Sure.
Literally, people go into your driveway and turn around?
Yes. Yes. And our neighborhood has a lot of circle driveways, but ours is a double wide circle driveway because the people that built the house in 1958 had six kids. And
so they treat it like a thoroughfare.
They do. And they drive quickly. And I sit at the kitchen table and I always want to dart out and yell.
These are the same people who go into a drive-thru at a fast food.
You know what you should do, Mary?
Excuse me. Excuse me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I believe I was mid-sentence when you jumped on that. Sorry. Who's interrupting
it's
who?
It's about me interrupting you. Now.
Well, good news for you is I've totally forgotten what I was going to say. All right, what were you going to tell
me?
Why
don't you get a really large planter, two of them, because you like symmetry.
I do.
Since you have a double wide. And the thing is, if you were to put something on the drive that you could still drive through, but it would give people pause to say, oh, that's not a road.
That's not a turnaround.
Right, and it would be something lovely. You could do some cascading flowers over the top. You can buy these really large planters at like Home Goods that are lightweight.
Okay.
Don't fill them all the way with dirt. Put something in the bottom because you want to be able to move them. Because if you fill them with dirt, you just won't be able to move them.
Yeah.
And put some beautiful flowers there and just bring it in a little bit from one end. It'll be like, oh, that's not a place for me to turn around. And I bet you'll solve the problem.
All right. I like that idea. I like that a lot. And you just made me think, this being the last day I'm really on the show, one of my initial problems was a house in my neighborhood that did not have their planters that were in symmetry. Mm-hmm. They have corrected it this year.
Wow.
So
it took 3.5
years. Wait, so you start your new job on Monday?
I do. Yeah.
I'm going to need Saturday off.
along with you giving up the opportunity to work with delightful me every day, mm-hmm. you're now going to lose this platform to correct all the problems in your life.
She has my number.
I do. And I use it.
You're going to put her on House Smarts? You got 22 minutes.
Right. Exactly.
Come on. I got 4 hours to jerk around on this show.
I need him to answer my household questions, and then I need a session on the couch to like help with my psychological issues.
There you go.
6 or 815 says, put up a toll bar so they have to pay when they turn around.
I love that.
That's funny.
Lou, say goodbye to Sandberg. She'll be on the show, but just not as much.
Bye, Mary. Congratulations.
Thank
Very
you
happy
so much.
For you.
Thank you.
Okay, there you go. That's Lou in his first day, just sucking up to the new boss.
Yeah.
6:34, we're coming back with the headlines right after this on 720 WGN.
Alderman Burke, is your general concern that the rules have... let me just ask the question, if I might. Is your general concern that the rules have a gender designation and not his or her? Is that the gist of it?
That's it.
Is there any other thing that you want to call to the chair's attention?
No.
All right. So, sir, we'll take your issue under advisement. We're going to move forward.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Mr. Burke, sit down. Lori Lightfoot running the city. Oh, that's the job when you're the mayor. Heather Sherrone knows more about this stuff than anybody, and it's nice of her to join us from the Daily Line. And Heather's a good follow on Twitter, at Heather Sherrone, H-E-A-T-H-R-C-H-E-R-O-N-E. I follow her. You should, too. Morning, Heather.
Good morning, Steve.
Nice to have you back.
Thanks for having me. It was quite a week in Chicago politics.
Ed Burke used to, in some ways, run this town. What's his status now?
Indicted, shut down, silenced.
What about the you can't indict a sitting alderman rule? Oh, wait, that's not right. That's not right.
Luckily for Chicago, that does not apply.
It's an amazing and spectacular fall if this, in fact, ends his career. Now, he is entitled to his day in court, whatever that turns out to mean. But Lori Lightfoot's having none of it.
That's right. He has said he will plead not guilty on Tuesday when he's arraigned. And he said yesterday in a statement released by his lawyers that he expects to be vindicated. But the 59-page indictment details a very different picture, and I think it's one that will go down in the lore of Chicago political corruption history.
Besides venture capital being spent in Burger King real estate speculation, or whatever that thing was, what are the new charges?
Well, the new charges revolve around the redevelopment of the old post office. You know, that behemoth building that straddles the Eisenhower Expressway and the new Ida B. Wells Drive. And essentially, Burke is accused of holding up the redevelopment until the redeveloper, a company called 601W Companies, hired his private law firm, Clafter & Burke, to represent them in property tax appeals. And they needed a couple of things from the city, most specifically a $100 million tax break, as well as a $17 million TIF subsidy. And that had to go through Burke's finance committee, and he held it up until they agreed to hire his firm, according to the indictment.
So were they asking for something unreasonable, or was it sort of standard for that sort of deal?
Well, it's a huge project, and you know, you and I have seen that building lay fallow since I was in high school. So it was a big, big sort of main sort of thing that Rahm Emanuel was trying to get done while he was mayor. And there's no doubt that it's the type of project that the city needed to step in on because it was blighted. And that is what TIF money is designed to use. And that $100 million tax break was because of the landmark and the historic significance of that building, which, of course, was once Chicago's main post office. So you can make an argument either way, I think.
Yesterday, and this one sort of flew out under the radar, Fritz Kagi, the new county assessor, tried to get some property tax reforms done, and Madigan wouldn't even take them up. They died in committee. What do you know about that?
Well, it's interesting because Fritz Kagi was elected to replace Joe Berrios, who was accused of essentially favoring the wealthy over the poor in terms of property tax assessments. It's super complicated, but that's the long and the short of it. And Fritz Kagi said, look, I'm going to come in here and I'm going to make sure these assessments are based on reality and data. And to do that, I need a change in state law. And it sailed through the state Senate, and then it hit a roadblock in the Illinois House, which is, of course, controlled by Michael Madigan. Although he wasn't potentially the only opponent of it, although he has never spoken publicly on this bill, it also had the opposition of the business groups like the Chamber and the Illinois Merchants Association, who thought that the data would could potentially be used inappropriately and lead to much higher assessments for commercial and industrial properties.
Well, Fritz Kagi seems like, in the couple of times we've had him in here and also paying attention to this stuff, seems like a guy that really wants to make some positive changes and is not yet corrupted. So the people that got in the way of this, is their agenda and Madigan's agenda the same?
You know, it's hard to say, because if you ask Fritz Kagi, he says, look, this is just a bill so that we have the right data. And we get this data anyway, but only after property owners appeal. So we're asking for permission to get this data beforehand so that we can use it to make our assessments rather than using to decide appeals. And there's always a shot that this bill could be resurrected in the fall veto session, and we'll be watching it very closely. But it's a really complicated, hard system, and Fritz Kagi, you're right, he's somebody nobody sent, and he is attempting to get his arms around a system that has been very lucrative for appeals attorneys like Michael Madigan and Ed Burke, and he's trying to change the way the system works, and that's never easy in Chicago or Illinois.
Can I ask you a Washington question?
Absolutely.
If the Attorney General, Boris Badenoff, Barr, if he says, as he said to CBS yesterday, or maybe it's 2 days ago now, that Mr. Mueller should have made an assessment, and if he felt there was something criminal, he should have gone forward with it. Is there anything stopping Mueller from going back and doing that now that he's resigned?
You know, that's a good question. That occurred to me as well, and I don't know the answer to that. Now that, Robert Mueller is resigned, he has no prosecutorial power. I watched his press conference. I guess it wasn't really a press conference, his press statement a few days ago, and it really seemed like he was just telling Congress and the American public to read the report, which might be a little dry, but for a political junkie like me, it was quite a potboiler. And we'll have to see what happens next.
Yeah, and by the way, I would encourage everybody to read it. You know, it ought to be your civic duty. And it's 400 pages, but so is the book you're reading this summer. And portions of it don't have to be dealt with great depth, but it reads, I suppose I'm a bit of a nerd for this stuff too, but you could very easily make a TV movie out of this thing that 3 years ago nobody would have believed.
I was listening to somebody on one of your rival stations who said that, they should just get a bunch of actors to come into Congress and dramatically reenact the salient points, and perhaps that would capture the American public's attention.
That would be good, except if they came into Congress and do it, there wouldn't be more than 15 or 20 people there, unless
That's true.
A photo op. All right, and there is a South Carolina congressman who used to be a big shot amongst the Republicans who is saying this morning that Donald Trump ought to stand up. He's a former congressman now. Donald Trump ought to stand up and go, you got something? Go ahead. Take me to court. I'd rather have 12 jurors of my peers assess me than Congress. Go ahead. There's not a chance Trump's going to make that play.
Oh, no. That would not seem to comport with everything we've learned about our president over the last several years.
So the weaselness of this, and yes, that's a word, the weasality of this is Barr can say what he said because Mueller resigned, and I think we both assume that Mueller can't do what Barr challenged him to do. And the same thing goes for trying to hype up the whole impeachment, Democrats are searching for something that's not their thing. If the Democrats would get their, this is my words, believe me, not Heather's, if the Democrats would give their collective heads out of their butts and figure out how they're going to handle this, and do it, they'd be much better off. But they haven't been able to figure that out. So.
Well, I thought it was interesting that we saw Mike Quigley last night on the Rachel Maddow show saying that he now favored opening an impeachment inquiry. And, you know, he's somebody who sits on the Intelligence Committee and has seen the raw sort of data behind this. And that certainly caught my ear as well, because he's been rather circumspect in his statements before that. So we'll see what happens.
It sounds insane to say this now, Heather Sherrone, but this country was founded on the idea that not everybody has the best idea of how to run the entire country. So therefore, we're going to need representatives of all the people. And they may have great opinions at times, but their opinions will not carry the day because it's our job to represent everybody. Now, keeping in mind that it really sounds like a bad idea considering the current Congress we have, congressional oversight by the Democrats is something that doesn't involve public polls. You're just supposed to do it. So the idea that it's not getting done is antithetical that everything this country was founded on.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I read an analysis yesterday that said Nancy Pelosi has proven herself to be a stellar tactician in normal political times. I think the question that has yet to be answered is whether or not these are normal political times and whether her skill set is appropriately suited to this mishigash we find ourselves in. And that I think is interesting.
Being a good name for a new party, the Mishigash Party. Not bad at all. Heather, we love you. Thanks for coming on.
Anytime, Steve.
There you go. Heather Sherrone. She's great. She is great. And she's the Daily Line, yes?
Yes, the Daily Line.
Okay, and follow her on Twitter.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
Oh, Joe, this bump reminds me that you and I never had our bump meeting, so let's do that today. You've been listening to an off-air meeting on the air. It's 6:58. The Steve Cochran Show continues. You know how you really want somebody or want something for somebody you care about? You really want it to happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a parent, you know that feeling with your kids.
Sure.
You really want it to happen. But there's other people in your lives where something comes up and you go, God, I really want that. I really want that. Last night was that kind of a night for me. Friend of yours and mine and Sandberg's, and really a friend of anybody that's ever come across him, the great Emil Esposito, was finally, rightfully, elected to the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame.
Bravo.
Ah, so great. So great. Couldn't be happier for him.
I couldn't believe he wasn't in.
Right? That's the thing. Everybody I talked to went, what do you mean you're making a speech on his behalf? He's already in, right? He's got to be in. He's Emil. He's got to be in. But the fine people at the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame have been, considering for a while. And there's great people on that committee, by far. I don't know of them all. But I spoke to him briefly last night about Emil. It's part of a group that was nominating a bunch of people. And Emil and Lynn Zeem, another friend of ours from the Chicago Sun-Times. Mm-hmm. Emil and Lenny have been playing and covering golf in this town for 50 years, longer than 50 years. So Len got in as well.
That's great.
And you know who else got in? Carol Mann. Carol Mann won like 35 tournaments on the LPGA Tour and learned her golf here before she went around the world, won several majors. And I think she was, if she wasn't the first woman to cover golf on a network level, she was one of the early ones.
She was.
And she finally got in.
That's great.
So it's a big class. I think there's six folks going in, but my friend Emil is in. And I couldn't be more thrilled for him.
That is great. When is the induction?
October 19th, maybe? It's in October. But I hope you'll frequent the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame website and support them. And it's the best of Illinois golf.
I thought you were going to tell us you got in.
Well, he did kind of make it seem like that.
Yeah.
I be happy for other people? Why is it always going to be about me? I don't do the show that way.
Well, he will eventually.
I never make it about me.
There's still time.
That's true. You never do.
The show's never about me. We have an announcement coming up that is about this radio station, and it has nothing to do with this being Sandberg's last day. We'll do it with Dean after 8 o'clock. And for you Sandberg fans that are panicking, she's still going to be involved with the show, only occasionally, though, because she's becoming a management weenie. So
weenie?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll come back with your headlines in just a moment. They are, of course, going to be not your headlines, your actual news in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's where Steve Grzanich is standing by. And we have a copper in the building. We're going to talk a little charity effort the Chicago Police Department's putting on. What's the name of that team? Do you know how fast you were goings? What's the name of that team?
The CPD Enforcers.
The Enforcers!
And the CFD Blaze.
Yeah, it's the police Chicago versus fire in their annual football game.
Yeah.
Good stuff from real men that kind of sit around and talk like we do.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
And I know how to say.
It is always a pleasure to have a member of Chicago's finest live in studio. And the boys in blue are going to be taking on those in red. The First Responder Bowl is back. It's the CFD Blaze, the Chicago Fire, and the CPD Enforcers, the Chicago Police. Jason Slater's here representing the Chicago Police Department. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Nice to have you here. You guys get to practice before you play this game?
We do. First and foremost, everything we do is on our own dime and time.
Yeah.
So we schedule one practice a week, about 2 hours. And
did you play in high school?
I did play in high school.
What position?
I played linebacker and defensive end.
You look like you're in pretty good shape still.
Try to.
Yeah. Because when I shook your hand, you punched me in the head. I don't know what that was about. But the guys on the team, are they mostly, you know, guys that played in high school or maybe college?
Yeah, we have guys that have played, made it to the NFL.
Oh, is that right?
Whether practice squad or not.
Wow.
Yeah. The talent level definitely is a wide spectrum. We have guys who have never played organized football in their life, and they say, hey, I'm going to go out and run around and have some fun.
Samer?
How many guys played in high school and think they're as good as they were when they were in high school?
Would that be all of them?
I think all of us do, yeah. I think all of us think that.
And by the way, the fire department, not exactly slouches. So these guys are big and tough as well. And I'm sure a lot of them are friends of yours.
Yeah, there's a couple guys, you know, guys on our team are friends with guys on their team, and it's like any sport. You know, we can shake hands and, you know, before and after the game, but in between the whistles, it's hard-nosed football.
Where are you playing it?
We're playing over at St. Rita.
Okay, and people can get tickets out?
You can go to our website, www.cpdenforcers.com. There's a link there to purchase tickets, or you can purchase tickets up at the gate.
Where's the money go?
Money on our end, each team has their own separate charities.
Yeah.
Our charities are the Memorial Foundation, Mercy Home for Boys and Girls, and proceeds from our end are going to go to Officer Jimenez, Marmaleo, and Gary's families, who passed away last year.
Yeah, awful stories, and God bless you for helping take care of them. But that's the thing. When a brother falls or a sister, you're going to take care of their family for the rest of their life.
And that's exactly what this is about. I think it's a testament to what first responders all across the nation do. Someone's in need. We go out. We help. And this is just a platform for us to play a sport that we love, raise money, and help some people out.
So this is tonight. What time?
Tonight, 7 p.m., St. Rita.
Oh, you're going to have a great night. It's you know, pretty night for football.
High school, we used to wear our jerseys on game day.
A little
too old. Are the jerseys not ready yet?
No, the jerseys are ready. They're just a little too small to be wearing around.
You wouldn't take too much heat for that, I'm sure.
Okay, so you work, the police and fire work together, obviously, but now you're opposing each other on the football field. Is this like as intense as Bears Packers, or how heated is the rivalry?
It's heated. It is definitely heated. Like I said, we'll laugh, shake hands before the game, and as soon as that first whistle blows,
who's the oldest guy on your team?
We have a guy who came out this year. He is 50 or 51.
Oh wow,
pretty good shape.
Pretty good shape.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You guys trying to tell him we're only going to put you in if we need you?
He holds his own. He holds his own.
Right. Do you scout the other team at all?
Yes, we do. The league itself, just going back. The
First Responders League?
Yeah, the National Public Safety Football League, the NPSFL. One of the things that we have.
It's so formal.
Right.
There's about 21 teams nationally, and we all use a system called Huddle. What a lot of high school kids use.
Tremendous.
And
I love the fact that you swap film.
Film gets uploaded, and we break down film. And
it's HUDL. Is that
HUDL?
The one?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Who's the coach?
Our head coach is Sergeant John Curry from the Chicago Police Department.
And Sergeant John, has he coached before?
He has coached. He's don't know exactly where what his resume is, but I know he has coached in the past. He is actually one of the founding fathers of this team.
Right. How many guys on the team?
We have just under 50 roster.
Wow. It's a big roster.
It is. It's down. My first year, this is my 10th year playing. I want to say we were in the 70s the first couple years.
Well, there's no way everybody plays if you have 70 guys.
No, it's not. And, you know, all the fundraising.
You're not handing out participation ribbons, I know, at the police department.
No. That doesn't exist.
I'm thinking like a Hard Knocks where they go over and say, sorry, we just can't use you.
Hey, bring your playbook.
Yeah. No one gets cut. Yeah. No one gets cut. Yeah. But you got to do your fundraising. And no matter what kind of money you bring in, there's no promise of play.
Do you travel for games with this league with 21 teams, right?
Yes, we do. We'll travel for two games. We'll have three home games. Having the fire department in the league is helpful because that's a home/travel game at the same time. But yeah, this year we were down in Austin, Texas. And then just 2 weeks ago we were out in New York for a rematch of last year's Division I championship against NYPD.
Is it co-ed?
The fire department, their first 2 years, did have a female that played, yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If I was a spouse of one of these guys, I'd say, okay, you risk your life and your career every day, and then you also are playing football. I might question.
Yeah, but wouldn't you also, as a spouse, say, well, it's one more day you're not dealing with the idiots on the street.
That's true.
Speaking of the idiots, where do you serve?
I work over in the 19th District.
Wrigleyville?
Wrigleyville area, yes.
Well, you're never slow this time of year.
No, it's busy once the season starts.
Yeah. So games like this, do you get a couple of days to prepare and all that? Or are you still working as well?
Still working. There are guys that were working last night. They're home sleeping right now. And then if today was a work day for anyone, if they had the opportunity or option to take off on their own elective time, they'd go ahead and do so.
Camaraderie, bonding, what else do you get out of this?
the camaraderie, the bonding, I mean, it's this is a profession where, you know, you can go anywhere. If you run into another police officer or fireman, there's an automatic connection, conversation you can have.
Right.
You tie football into that, and it's a tighter knit knit family. That's the one thing about this team. We've really come together as one.
Every football team that I've ever been around always has one or two people who are a little too aggressive, and they can't seem to turn it down. You seem pretty mellow. You're the guy that's got to go to those guys and go, dude, dial it back a second.
I sometimes have to be the voice of reason,
right.
But we have a couple, and it's in the heat of the moment. You know, the whistle blows. There's a couple pushes.
That's okay.
You know, it's nothing. Just kind of pull them back. And
how come you've never called this game?
I don't know. It sounds great. What? Where do the officials come from?
They're all either IHSA or Division II. NCAA.
And they're volunteers in exchange for never getting a ticket?
There's no promise of that. There's no promise of that. But it depends. The relationship we have with the officials that we use, they volunteer their time. We were just out in New York, and they pay their officials. So it depends on the relationship that you develop.
Even staying in shape, there's football muscles that you use that you don't use every day. You sore after practice?
You know, the first 2 years I played after a game, I was sore for the better part of a week into 2 weeks.
And you can't believe it, right?
No,
you go, I'm in shape. What's this about?
Yeah, you know, one of our friends, we always laugh after a game by 9, 10 o'clock that night. He's like, oh, I feel great. I could play again.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next morning, he can't walk. So, but usually about a day or so, get a quick bounce back.
You guys go out for a few beers afterwards? You and the firemen?
Yeah, we do.
You want to reveal the place so we can all go and cheer you on?
This year, since the game is a Friday night lights mm-hmm. game, mm-hmm. we usually play on Saturday or Sunday afternoon. We have secured Firewater Saloon.
Okay.
There's a north side and a south side. Mm-hmm. So anyone that goes in there that was at the First Responder Bowl, talk to the bartender.
Yeah, and also we want to give them their props for hosting you guys.
Yeah, they've been great. We called them, and they were quick to jump on that, so...
So, Dave, last word for you.
Well, I wonder if from an injury standpoint, how do you guys come through this? Have you had any bad injuries?
That's a great point. Does Superintendent Eddie Johnson get involved and go, listen, you play football, it's fine, but don't be too hurt to work?
So my old boss was always on me. Every year he'd say, are you playing this year? I say, yeah. He goes, you better not get hurt. So, it comes with it. You know, we've been very fortunate. We had one of our players took a pretty nasty hit, got taken off on a stretcher.
Wow.
And everything, you know, was fine in the end. But I've had shoulder surgery a few years back.
Is that right?
And it just...
You guys come to play.
Yeah. It's hard-nosed football. It is. It's fun. Competition level's
great. Who provides the gear?
Again, it's all up to an individual team. We went out and we purchased all of our stuff.
Is that right?
So when you sign on...
Well, guys are putting their own money out for this, too, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So everyone has to fundraise a certain amount. New players have to pay a club fee that goes to the team.
CBDenforcers.com is the website. The fire department obviously has a website as well, and they have their own charity for this. Again, where's your money going?
Our money is going to the three officers, Marmaleo,
yep.
Jimenez, and Gary.
But their families.
Our main ones are the Memorial Foundation, Mercy Home for Boys and Girls, and the Police Chaplain Association.
Well, you're good men and women, and we appreciate it. Before I let you go, we're getting into the summer.
Yes.
And I'm one of those people, and I think most right-thinking people, we worry about you guys out there, and we respect how tough your job is. If, especially, I think about Wrigleyville. If you come upon somebody and you have to ask them a few questions, and whatever the case may be, what's the right response?
We're not out here to hurt anyone or ruin anyone's day. If there's a question that we're going about, there's a reason that we're asking that question. So if you can, just answer it as much as you might not want to and
right.
be on your way.
Yeah. And my personal opinion is if you limit your cursing and if you limit your idiot behavior, you're probably not going to have a problem.
You probably won't.
See how that works out? Isn't logic funny?
Yes.
Hey, good luck tonight.
Thank you very much.
Of course, we're pulling for the fire department as well, but we like you best because you came in and saw us. Well,
thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Take care of that family, officer. Nice to see you.
Same to you.
Jason Slater, Officer CPD, CPDenforcers.com. And let's plug the fire department as well, Sandberg. Get me their information at 722. We'll come back, and the MVPP is next.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Each day we make this announcement, and we always look forward to it. We're going to meet a couple people here in just a second. And remind you that after 8 o'clock, we have a special announcement we're going to make here. And it's an announcement we do every year. Beyond that, I can't tell you much. Well, I don't know, boss lady. Can we talk about this or not?
No.
Okay, all right. See? This is what we're going to be dealing with starting Monday.
I'm going to be head of the committee, you know, just
727. Joining me on the phone now, Dr. John Varga. Good morning, doctor. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you here. And a former guest, I think, on multiple occasions on
yes,
the show.
Yes, Stephanie.
Stephanie Summers-Gresh, Executive Director of the Scleroderma Foundation of Greater Chicago. Hi, Steph.
Hey, guys. Good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Welcome back. June is...
Last time we saw her, was she pregnant? Were you pregnant?
No, that was 2 times ago.
That was 2 times ago.
2 times ago. How is the squirt?
She's great, running around.
Yeah, it's nothing but fun for me because I'm the grandfather. Not of your child. In my own world. June is Scleroderma Awareness Month. What is scleroderma?
Scleroderma is a connective tissue disease, so it's a disease related to lupus and arthritis and autoimmune diseases, but it's primarily a disease of scarring where the skin and the lung and the kidneys and the intestinal tract get very hard and gradually fail.
And Stephanie, you knew who dealt with this?
My mom had scleroderma, actually, so I'm super passionate about this cause and just making sure that people are aware so they can get properly diagnosed and get the care that they need.
So you guys are trying to raise money, Steph, as you do throughout the year, mm-hmm. but what's the next event we need to be aware of?
Well, part of Scleroderma Awareness Month, we have our walk coming up in Highland Park on June 23rd, and it's our 17th year up there, and we hope people come out and get involved, and it's a fun day. We've got a 1 and 3 mile walk and, you know, music and food and stuff for the kids, so it's a lot of fun.
Doctor, what do we know about a cure or the steps to a cure? Are we making some breakthroughs here?
Yeah, this is a very exciting time because for the first time, we just finished a very large clinical trial that was recently published that for the first time shows a drug that it doesn't cure the disease, but it very significantly slows the progression. And theoretically, it could buy people 5, 10, 15 years of added life. So it's potentially a breakthrough and the first really effective treatment that we have.
Doctor, who gets this? Who gets scleroderma, and what do we know about how that happens?
Well, that's the thing, that it's really a disease of young to middle-aged women. So women in their 20s, 30s, 40s get this, and it's a chronic disease. So, you know, lacking a cure, it's vital to have these treatments that can really slow the progression of the disease. And I think for the first time, we might have that in hand. And there's a number of other promising drugs also under development. So the picture is really starting to look up for this terrible disease.
And Stephanie, is there a genetic part of this that most of the public's not aware of, or no?
Well, there's a genetic component, but it's not necessarily passed down. It's not necessarily hereditary, so okay. It's not necessarily passed down from, you know, parent to child.
So you may have the gene, you may not.
Correct.
What is going on as far as fundraising goes? We headed in a positive direction here. I mean, I know the work never ends, but how are we doing?
We're definitely heading in the positive direction, like Dr. Varga said, but there's more work to be done, you know, and I think that the Scleroderma Foundation, we're one of the, you know, leading supporters of research, but there's researchers out there who need more funds, so that's really important.
Doctor, it's a you know, I don't want to make it too simple here, but, you know, I'm simple. It's a mean disease.
It is a mean disease, and particularly because it affects women in the prime of their life. It's not an old age disease, and so we desperately need good treatments to, you know, stop or prevent progression, so that these people can have meaningful and good quality lives.
And this disease affects 300,000 people in America. That seems like enough to have the money just roll in, but a lot of people don't know about this, right?
right. A lot of people don't know. It's much less known than other diseases that have a similar prevalence. So one of our tasks is with the Stephanie's and the organizations is to raise awareness. So make people aware, make sure that people get early diagnosis. Now that we have treatments that can, you know, prevent the progression, we want to catch the disease early.
It is Sunday, June 23rd, the Stepping Out to Cure Scleroderma fundraising walk. You can go a mile, you can go 3 miles if you like. I understand you can bring kids and your dog. Is that right, Stephanie?
Bring the kids, bring the dog. We'll have face painters, you know, Carol's cookies, which is reason enough alone to come out.
That is 100% a reason alone.
So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. And you can go to scleroderma.org/Highland Park to sign up. Or give us a call.
And what's the number to call?
312-660-1131.
Keep up the great work, both of you, and hi to everybody at Northwestern and on your team there, Dr. Varga. Thanks for being on. You're both the most valuable people on the planet.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, and continued success in working towards a cure or working towards getting to a cure. You know, we'll take it one step at a time, but as fast as possible. Guy from Seattle built a fence around an illegally parked car. Doesn't that sound like a cool idea? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you about that coming up. Also on the way, as you said, an announcement that I can't talk about, so we'll give you that. And the Pucks in Prague clip of the day in just a few moments. Headlines next.
This is today's Pucks in Prague clip of the day.
The Brinket, not just great on the ice, great on the phone.
His dog has his own Instagram account.
Ralph's his name. Instagram's Ralph _ DeBrindog. So
DeBrindog. How great is that?
My dad likes hockey, but I prefer tennis balls. # DeBrindog.
DeBrindog. That's fantastic.
That is today's Pucks in Prague clip of the day.
Oh, man!
And you're here again this afternoon with Rokan. Be caller number...
Hi, this is Jonathan
19.
Tate.
Win a Blackhawks prize pack, including tickets to the Blackhawks convention, and be qualified to win a trip for two to see the Hawks open their season in Prague, Czech Republic, against the Flyers. Listen to Rokan today to win.
We're going to reach out to the Taser, wherever he is, and let's get him on. Since he's the lucky number every day.
He just played golf in Kiowa. I saw he posted on Instagram him and a bunch of, like, 12 buddies.
Well, it's a perfect time to interrupt him. So let's get Taylor's on to talk about the fact that we seem to pick number 19 every day. Gail Canato from West Chicago was number 19 yesterday. Listen to Roe and Anna this afternoon between 6 and 6:30. It's a dramatic pause. Between 6 and 6:30, that's when you're going to hear the clip of the day, when you do be the 19th caller. And what are they going to win if they're the 19th caller? Can you tell me, please?
They're going to win a prize pack. Win a chance for a Blackhawks fan to win a package that includes 4 tickets to a Blackhawks convention, a signed replica jersey, a signed hockey stick.
That's the part.
And a signed puck and photo.
I've been giving this away all week, and I thought we were giving that away to the qualifiers, and then they have a chance to win the trip. This is confusing wording in this for me.
Yeah, I may have put that in as a typo. I apologize. They do get all that stuff. The chance comes with the qualification.
Okay, got it. So they actually win this stuff.
They do win all that.
Got it. Okay.
And then they also are qualified for the big grand prize, which we're giving away next week,
from today. So exciting. Right.
And Joe, don't ever make another mistake on the show.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And you're leading that trip.
Yes, the Steve Cochran trip, the European vacation. European vacation.
That's so funny.
Yeah. This replica jersey, signed hockey stick, signed puck and photo. And I was talking to the great Pete Hassan yesterday from the Blackhawks organization, and we're cooking up something that we think we're going to pull off for the convention. It'll be kind of fun.
Ooh.
Can't tell you what it is. Boss lady at 7:43. Don't forget this afternoon, last time I'm going to tell you, between 6 and 6:30 is when you need to listen for today's clip of the day. Complete details, official rules, WGNradio.com/contest. 7:43, and should we take a break and actually get ahead on this show? How much would that throw everybody off?
Everybody would throw us all off. Can't do that.
Okay.
No, take the... Do it.
All right.
Steve Cochran.
Will you please report to the radio booth?
It's Steve Cochran from the Allstate Skyline Studio on 720 WGN.
Yeah, sometimes I give you an opportunity. You must pick one story. I've actually got probably three.
You've got three and no time for them, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, I actually have time right here, don't I?
No, we have General Borling.
He's pretty important. I should probably talk to him.
Yeah, he's only a war hero.
What about the Seattle man that built a fence around his illegal parked car Save that story?
Save that story.
Okay. One of my friends, and I'm proud to say that, General John Borling joins us now. Good to see you last Tuesday, General.
Well, great to see you Tuesday. You did your normal superb job for the Patriot Education Fund. Thank you so much for being such a stirring MC.
Well, you know, we do what we can. My job is to get as much money as possible and get us on the golf course. So
absolutely.
It rained and then it didn't, so we're able to enjoy the day at Medina, and we hope you'll support the Patriot Education Fund. Hey, you got something new going on, and I'm dragged down the air against your will to talk about it. What is the third degree?
Did you ever have the third degree growing up?
Not like you, buddy.
Well, I've had the third degree with steroids, but that's another story for another time. I will comment that my purpose this morning is much like that chicken that you had on the air screaming just a few minutes ago, or at least it sounded like a rooster, mm-hmm. and it reminded me of living in Belgium at a small fermet out in the countryside serving at the Supreme Headquarters. And this chicken would come on at an ungodly hour, 4:30, and start to sing. In the French phrase, it would start to chanter. Mm-hmm. And it did that morning after morning.
I'm trying to figure out how you're going to tie this into you being the chicken.
I know. Hang on. Until it did that until it died. Now,
this story's getting worse.
What we're going to do is tell you not something about something dead, but something that is coming alive this Sunday.
Okay.
Starting, how's that for a transition?
Well, not bad, actually.
Not bad. But something that's going to come alive this Sunday, a new column called The Third Degree, previewing in the Rockford Register Star and going from there, hopefully, nationwide. It's being hyped all weekend in various channels, and we're grateful for a few minutes here to advise your listenership that the third degree is coming. And it's premised, Steve, to make a little longer speech than maybe is required, on the notion that America seems so fractured with discourse designed, opinion disguised as fact.
Yep.
People trying to cram down information for their particular cause, unwilling to accept contrary views. Somehow we've lost the value of rational and needed responsible discourse.
And the notion that we could learn something from anybody. We're all so smart, we've got it all figured out. We couldn't possibly hear something that might change our minds.
Well, and so the third degree is meant to ask the hard questions, having confidence that the American people have sort-out capability, that they've got the judgment and the motivations to make the right decisions, if only we could get the right questions asked. So in a brief but unsparing way, the third degree on a weekly basis is going to offer that kind of approach. It's going to ask questions, not the slanted questions you get from political parties trying to tell you about so-and-so's a crumb, so what do you think about this? Or what do you think about this because so-and-so's a crumb? It's meant to be strictly apolitical. It's meant to be fair. It's meant to be provocative. It's meant to, again, rely upon your good judgments and your thinking and hopefully actions so that the great American experiment can continue to prosper. That's all.
And the Rockford Star rollout this weekend is Sunday, again, intended for national syndication as soon as possible. This sounds like a perfect offshoot of what you guys do every day at SOS America, where I'm a member, and I hope others would be too, sosamerica.org, because we all need more citizenship and patriotism.
Yeah, it sounds like a peddler with a pack this morning, but these are things that you and I have long talked about that are the stuff that push the nation ahead. So we want to, you know, put our shoulder to the wheel a little more on the third degree. Does that, and thanks for the plug on SOS America. That's a big deal.
It is a big deal, and I appreciate you coming on anytime you can. So, again, look for it Sunday. You can do it online as well, but in the Rockford Star, for you folks in Rockford,
it will be online, and then shortly, without going to all the other sponsors that are going to be there, we're going to try to roll this thing out nationally. At least that's the desire. So we're putting putting the press on. Again, we're inspired by the fact that the American people have got, you know, they've got good bones, good good judgment. And all we need to do is to cut through all this acrimonious chaff and just ask questions. It was Socrates who said, the unexamined life is not worth living. So we're gonna put some examination on issues we think are important for us to consider.
I'd love it if people listening would just go through today and just open their ears and open their eyes and open their hearts to learning something from somebody else that they thought they might disagree with. Just be open-minded to it.
And remember, we're not offering answers. We're offering questions.
Yeah.
You know, so
spurring the conversation, even though I know you do have all the answers.
Well, the more I, the older I get, the more I think it's just wise to ask questions and then listen. And then let your good instincts. You know, we make decisions often just on our gut. You know, we think mm-hmm. we're so logical and thoughtful, mm-hmm. But we really care about stuff that's close to home, and we care about stuff that's in our community and in a larger sense, country. So we'll ask the questions and then we'll listen. How's that?
Well, I think it's good, and I agree with you. The older I get, the more I realize that I'm occasionally wrong about things, and I learn more things every day. So, at any rate,
I'm absolutely shocked that you would even admit that.
you and a lot of listeners. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Good to see you guys. Bye-bye.
That's General John Borling, and I hope you will check out SOSAmerica.org as well. And on Sunday, the third degree. Did you notice General Borling asked if I've ever gotten the third degree? This is from the guy who spent more time in a Vietnamese prison camp than anyone in American history.
Yeah.
There's really no comparison.
No.
Yeah. I mean, on any level. So, it's 7:56. Can I do the story about the parking thing now?
Do we have a choice?
No, not really. No.
Yes, then.
Seattle man built a fence around an illegally parked car share vehicle on property, and he is demanding payment now as well for the person who parked illegally. I like this story a lot. A Seattle property owner upset about a car share vehicle parked illegally in the parking lot of his duplex, put a barricade around it, and demanded compensation from the owner. Dan Smith said the Car2Go Mercedes-Benz. We have Car2Go in Chicago, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is where you can rent it by the hour even, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a Mercedes, though?
Yeah, it's a Mercedes. Dan Smith said the Car2Go Mercedes had been parked in the lot since May 17th. Since May 17th? That's 2 weeks. That's a lot of rent for a Car2Go car. I think there's a crime involved here. Anyway, Cairo TV in Seattle did the story. It said he gave ShareNow, the company that operates Car2Go, 2 hours to get the car. He got no response, so he built a fence around the car with no way to get to the car. And that way, when they got to the car, they'd have to contact him and deal with his wrath. The company told the news station several customers tried renting the vehicle on May 18th, couldn't access it because the barricade had already been put up. Oh, I see. So on the 17th, he wanted the car moved. They didn't respond. He built the barricade around the car, and that way the people couldn't get it. Smith is demanding the company pay $65 a day for vehicle storage fees, $300 for the barricade, and $500 for harassment. In a statement to Fox News, ShareNow spokesperson Tim Krebs said the company has made repeated attempts to work with Mr. Smith to have our vehicle removed from the property. It added that Smith, quote, rejected these offers and has blocked ShareNow and its members from accessing the vehicle. you need to do your job. And not so much illegal, but selfish parking, I believe, plagues this city.
It does.
Every single day.
Yep. Our garage.
Yeah, it's awful.
You get into a small garage. If you don't hit it right between those lines with ample space on either side, you're a creep.
But you know what? The garages bear a lot of responsibility for this because they've redone these parking spaces to be thinner, to be narrower, and that's caused all of us problems.
Yeah, but still, you don't have to angle your car so you're across the line and taking up part of a second space.
You don't. You absolutely don't. And here's the other piece of news. The driver has to get into the car. You have to leave access on the driver's side of the car, even in the smallest of spaces. You know, so it's presumed that, let's say you're backed in and the other car pulls in straight or vice versa. Then you could pull in fairly closely to the other car, mm-hmm. if need be. but you have to leave the driver's side of the car accessible.
Especially,
is that hard to understand?
If you have an oversized vehicle and a lot of people are
like
driving.
Like a White Lightning.
Well, even larger than that, like pickup trucks. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are driving them. And yeah, well, I mean, yeah, the large SUVs, you've got to be considerate.
The other thing I see, and the one thing parking garages in Chicago do not enforce. So if you want to be a creep and take advantage of this, feel free. But I've never seen a garage enforce the intended for compact cars only space. I mean, what happens? You see small car, small car, small car, small car. Mm-hmm. Huge truck! Small car, small car, small car. Giant SUV! And, you know, you're going through and you're trying not to hit somebody, just trying to get to a parking space. We all live in the same world.
Our garage that we park in here, they have a lot of those electric charging car parts. They do enforce that with, they put the giant sticker.
Teslas, yeah.
Yeah. They put the sticker if your car isn't that car.
Oh, like if you park in that spot and you're not electric?
Right. You get a big green sticker on your window. And so I imagine at some point you got to take that off. Yeah. You know, like there's a fee or I don't really know what the actual repercussion is, but you got a sticker on your window.
Like a sticker right in front of your face on the driver's side?
It's on the driver's side door, but it's right, Steve? It's a giant sticker.
Yeah, but the garage here is really the Wild West. I mean, it's really kind of a lawless territory.
I got a hit and run. I got in a hit and run 2 weeks ago.
And you got in a hit and run?
Well, they hit my car and they ran and I got in my car and I got home. My husband looks at the car and goes, "What happened to your car?" I'm like, "What?" Yeah, they smoked
me. You weren't in it at the time.
No. Okay. But I still call it a hit and run because they hit and ran.
Yeah, what a ridiculous creep.
They could leave a note.
A note. You screwed up. It happens.
There's no cameras.
Mary
did
make it sound like it was a...
Yeah,
like,
I thought she was assaulted.
Well, I wasn't assaulted.
There's some stuff that happens in our garage after hours, though. Maybe it's because it's connected to a hotel.
Yeah.
I mean, I've found beer bottles and vomit and all kinds of other stuff. You wonder what goes on at night.
Down there.
Yeah, what kind of a garage are you parking in? What sort of jungle are you in?
Oh, there's stuff down there.
Yeah, there is stuff down
there. Good Lord. So please, consider the other human beings on the planet as we hope they'll consider you. And now this.
Tired of paying for parking blocks away just so you can make that 5-minute meeting? Well, I'm here to solve all your parking hassles. Hi, I'm Joe, founder of Joe's Car Sitting Service. I've been sitting in cars for 6 years now, which is practically 10 full years. You know how there's always an open spot right outside your building, but there's that pesky fire hydrant in the way? Well, don't worry about writing a ticket, officer. Old Joe's behind the wheel for this one. All I charge is the change in your cup holder and anything I might consider valuable in your car. I've sat in Blackhawk star Brian Bickle's car for 9.5 minutes.
Yeah, they're pretty good. They're really skilled.
I almost sat in cars owned by Dean Richards, Frank Caliendo, and even Coach Joel Quinville considered it.
I don't know.
So next time, don't wuss out for a pricey parking spot. Just call Joe's Car Sitting Service. I put the car back in care.
From the Steve Cochran Industries.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
Dedicate yourself and you can find yourself.
Standing in the hall.
Walk of Famers do we have on this show? I mean, Orion's not on today. Well, it'd be on later. It'd be on after 9 o'clock. That's one.
Orion's one. Dave Ennett.
Dave Ennett's two.
I'm going from oldest to youngest.
Dean Richards is three.
Well, Mary Vandeveld's,
four.
I don't know what age they're...
I think he actually did it in order.
Are we talking about current Walk of Fame members or like future?
Future Walk of Fame members? Well, there'd be you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The youngest.
Yeah, and Grzanich. Yeah, covers everybody.
Maybe you? You?
No, I'm not getting into the Walk of Fame. No, I've got too many criminal problems from my past.
We also have Pete Buttigieg, Bernie Sanders. Am I on the right list?
No,
I don't think you are. I think you're looking at Democratic candidates, Walk of Fame members.
Sorry, excuse me.
So as you know, Dean, Mary Sandberg Boyle is about to become a management weenie.
Right.
So today is her last official day on the show, even though she'll be on the show next week and she'll be on the show off and on with some regularity. We're looking for a replacement. She's already told me she's irreplaceable.
True.
We're working for to at least get close.
What are the qualifications, would you say, to follow a Mary Sandberg?
Boy, judgmental. Is that open with that? At any rate, we have an announcement to make here, Dean, and it involves all of you Walk of Famers. And that is, it's time to tell you who, in fact, will be a part of this year's class of the WGN Radio Walk of Fame.
Don't you think the previous inductees that we should have a vote in this?
That's what we should, I was saying.
We should decide who can be in our club.
Where was the committee?
Well, but if we start bringing you egomaniacs in, then this thing's never going to be done.
We were asked for suggestions.
Yeah, but everybody was.
Everybody was.
Yes. I'm like, Dean, we got to let the riffraff get them out of here. We can't let just anybody vote on this.
Yeah, this is our club. Yeah.
Well, we shouldn't, you know, get upset with them because they did pick us, whoever they are, the committee.
All right. Now, Dean, are you aware of who these people are?
I am.
Okay. So I'm going to start with...
He is, after multiple emails back and forth.
Yeah, there's only about 100 emails trying to pry the information out so I could put it on TV.
How'd you find out? I just got a little bit of information in the bathroom.
See, this is why you people can't vote, because of these arguments that keep going on.
Well, the thing about Dean is, for television, he wanted to prepare something, so he needs more time.
Yeah.
And
because there's 800 people involved in TV, and you need up to four.
Yeah, and Dean basically stated, hey, you can trust me, I need time to prepare. And it wasn't that people weren't trusting him, but there was a lot of emails.
Yeah, I was wondering when Bad Cop was going to show up.
It's like it's like I was asking him to release the unredacted Mueller report. Like, just tell me the people so I could put their pictures on TV. That's all I'm trying to do.
This is Moron Entertainment. We'll get to that in a second, but let's start with the good news. So yesterday, I had the great pleasure, and I thank Todd Manley for that, the great pleasure to tell Marlene Wells that she had made the Walk of Fame.
Yay!
Oh, this is fantastic. She's been here, what, 50 years?
50 plus.
52 years in October.
Oh, my gosh.
And Marlene Wells was as emotional as you would expect she would be, which was great. And then I told her we were just kidding. No, it was...
And then she said, oh, good, I can retire now.
I did tell her she had to make a 45-minute acceptance speech, and she said, then I resign. But Marlene Wells is a...
Marketing, sales, promotion,
genius. She has seen everything that's gone on in this place for 52 years.
Since 1967. She started in 1967.
Isn't that unbelievable?
So think about that, of, you know, when most of us started listening to WGN. Marlene's been involved in every important event that has happened on this station.
No question.
And really coordinated all of these important events, not just been involved, but she was the person that made them happen.
Yeah.
Every time we're not in the studio, she's there.
Endless energy.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And she's got a photograph of every person that's come through WGN.
Yeah,
she's with her, you know, and she's kept them. So it's like a cool catalog.
She also has photographs of people that she uses whenever she needs to.
Yes.
And she's the keeper of the stuff. She's got all the stuff with WGN logos on it that all the listeners have wanted through the years. And the only one that seems to get any of it is my brother, Mickey.
He does.
Yeah. So, but congratulations, Marlene. We love you, and it's absolutely a great decision.
Is she going to get a sitting ovation? Or are you?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yes. Yes. Highly coveted sitting ovation.
Ooh, Marlene. Big Boss Todd Manley has joined.
Who just shouted in the back? Who
that was
that?
Grisana. Big Boss Todd Manley has joined medium. Let me get your mic on. Big Boss Todd Manley has joined medium sized boss Mary Grisana. Mary Grisana. Mary Shanford here in studio. Dave, I'm going to let you announce the next one. Drum roll, please.
He was known. Thank you. He was known
weird
as
drum roll.
The 10-pin tattler, Sam Weinstein, the 10-pin tattler, which ran on WGN Radio from 1966 to 1995, Saturday evenings at 5:55. It was all about bowling. And it was, I believe, at the time it had begun on radio in Chicago in 1935. Yeah. It followed a Sports Central, which ran on Saturday afternoons, and
this show was on 60 years.
Yeah, and I remember
just on WGN
on bowling. That,
yeah,
that's just unbelievable.
I remember leading into the 10-pin tattler on Saturdays when I'd be hosting Sports Central. Chuck Swirsky would do the show, and Sam Weinstein, who had a bowling and golf store on Western Avenue near Bradley Place, where we were, of course, for many years, where WGN-TV is, about Addison and Western, Universal, I think it was called Universal Bowling and Golf.
And you said he was a great guy.
He was a wonderful guy, just one of the
passed
nicest people ever
met. By the way.
Yep.
And the show went on until 1995.
How about that?
Todd, whatever happened to radio bowling?
Were a ton of copycat shows. I mean, it was...
Didn't I pitch that as an idea once, radio bowling?
You may have pitched it. Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't play-by-play of bowling, Steve.
Dean, I'm going to allow you to pick the next one. Give me a drum roll. We didn't have a lot of time for the full drum roll, Dean.
Dean, please pick the people we gave you.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. That would be helpful. Yeah.
Now, here are my picks, but... Did we mention...
Hold on, we just got a lose list.
Did we? No, wait. So we've mentioned Marlene and Sam, right?
Yes, that's it.
So let's go to Andrea Darlis.
Oh, look at you picking the Greek.
Woo-hoo. Andrea Darlis, who for 21 years on WGN radio was a news anchor, news reporter, a show host, has done it all. With great competency, and
she worked on this show. You don't want to mention that she's on this show for several years.
Despite that, she still got into the Walk of Fame.
Kill you to bring that up.
Yeah, still got into the Walk of Fame. She recently accepted a job with the University of Illinois, but still will occasionally appears on WGN Radio and on weekend mornings here on WGN television as well. So,
and she now insists on being called Chancellor. Chancellor Darlis.
She does her Monday night show, too.
Monday night show.
Reporter.
So we love Andrea. Congratulations.
Andrea and the reporters, Mayor. Yes,
yeah.
That reporter thing.
Yeah, that reporter thing was one of the focus group names. We didn't stick with it.
I did not see that in one of the 65 emails that went back and forth last night.
Congratulations, Andrea. We love you. And Todd, would you do the honor of announcing the last one?
Well, he has got 2 decades plus here at WGN Radio. John Williams.
John Williams. I wondered what happened to him.
He's still here.
John does a great job every afternoon from 1 to 3. Saturdays, what time is he on Saturdays?
10 to noon.
10 to noon every Saturday as well. And I think he sounds better than ever.
Yes, so, absolutely.
So John Williams is in as well. What did he say when you told him?
You know, we were talking about other things. No, he was, I think...
He does have a focus issue.
No, thank God. The thing that is cool about John is, I mean, he was an intern for Wally and Bob, and then, went back to finish school at SIU in Carbondale, and then came back here for a big job in 97. So it's, I think he was... He's somebody who propels the place forward, always has, and has a link to the past at the same time.
Yeah.
Does he know he's not king?
That's just going to ask Dave if his plaque is going to say king on it.
He's spending most of his time talking to dead presidents. I don't think he knows he's not king.
Yeah. And is an Academy Award-winning composer also.
Yes. The work he did with Star Wars was tremendous.
Yeah. His office is near ours. Every time somebody walks by, they're like, hey, King John. I mean, it's it's his name.
I don't call him that.
Shocking.
I call him John. We'll do an on-air ceremony as we do every year. It'll be when?
It'll be Friday, September 13th, live from the Chicago Architecture Center.
With the Bill and Wendy show?
Yes, with the Bill and Wendy show. And I have to say something about Marlene for a second, because every company, every organization dreams you get somebody like Marlene Wells for 10 years. Somebody that anticipates every need, somebody that understands a mission, somebody that loves the people around them but demands...
Loves a job.
The interesting thing is that, this comes up a lot of times when you talk about kindness.
Yeah.
Kindness isn't the same as being nice, and nice is sometimes not very deep. And you can have debates with Marlene, and you can get to a better end. And we have had her for more than 5 decades.
Isn't that unbelievable?
And you just, it's impossible. There's no other way to put it. And she is so deserving of this
honor. And she had a health scare recently that would have put me down for 6 months. And she was trying to come back to work in an hour and a half.
She's amazing. I mean, and people who have, been at the same job for 50 years, they start to slow down a little bit, kind of redefine. Not her. Mm-mm. She puts us all to shame.
She sped up. We played office tag the other day. I couldn't catch her.
And she's had a lot of foot surgeries, and she's still faster than you.
And she can still kick you in the butt, too.
That's true.
She's amazing. It's a great group.
Really is. Yeah, congratulations to everyone.
And on Friday, September 13th.
Yep, 10 to noon. That's the ceremony.
And we're going to announce the new home of the plaques?
We're Friday, working September on that 13th. Right now. You know, for a while, actually, you know, and some of this is because of the fact that our plaques are underneath the rehab of Trib Tower.
Yeah.
And we've been in conversations about whether or not it might be able to, you know, be moved in that space around Pioneer Court. And at this point, that's unlikely. And so we're, you know, looking at a couple of other things and got a few other proposals out there. So we'll see.
Are you telling me, or more specifically, Dean and Mary Vandeveld and Dave, that like the city of Pompeii, their plaques are currently buried?
Well, yes.
Dean got his out.
Mine was never in, so mine's
that's
safe.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I got mine out, and as you know, I wear it around my neck like a medallion.
Which is really quite a strain.
Yeah.
Congratulations once again to John Williams, Andrea Darlis, Marlene Wells, and the 10-pin tattler,
Sam Weinstein.
They're all in the WGN Radio Walk of Fame.
We need to create a... Do we not have 10 minutes to do a bowling segment on this show every day?
I don't know why we wouldn't. I mean, you've heard the show. We've got to have 10 minutes.
It can't be any more boring than what we do every day.
Yeah, and people seem to love this.
More than golf.
Imagine bowling. All right, here's what we'll do. We'll come back. We still have entertainment to talk.
Here he comes, stepping up to the line.
Wow, he would be a good bowling announcer.
He seems to have a slight curve on the 8-pin.
Dean, your balls are breaking Brooklyn.
I beg your pardon?
What? It's 8:23.
You do know the boss is sitting right there, right?
It's a bowling thing.
Oh, okay.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh.
Bowling Dean.
The entertainment editor.
Dean the Bowler.
720.
Dean was known as a Greek freak at the alleys.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that the name of that basketball player on the Milwaukee Bucks?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, all the entire Greek community is like, oh, you know he's Greek.
Yeah, you know, I yell that every time I get a strike in bowling, Giannis Antetokounmpo, or whatever you just said.
I used to go bowling all the time.
What do you mean all the time?
When
like
I was
every day?
A kid, we used to go 2-3 times a week.
You know what my friend Jim Gaffigan says? Anything where you can eat while you do it is not likely a sport. Can I get pizza?
Fun.
I'm going to hold a slice of pizza while I bowl.
But as I became a germaphobe, bowling became less attractive to me. The idea of wearing someone else's shoes.
Remember when rental pants were in for a while? That's what freaked me out.
Wait a minute. Didn't somebody on the show once wear bowling shoes?
Dean, do you know that story?
No.
The Blackhawks had, I think it was...
Seabrook,
wasn't it? Seabrook? It was Seabrook or Campbell. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But had an annual...
It's Seabrook. He's done it, like, for 10 years.
So it's probably Seabrook, then.
And remember, we established he's going to invite you this year because you agreed to say no, that you won't.
Oh, that's right, because he quit inviting me.
Yeah.
Maybe the reason he quit inviting me, Dean, is because I got in the elevator after we had all bowled, and Patrick Kane looked at me, smirked, looked down. He said, Steve, did you forget your shoes? I was walking out in the bowling shoes.
Oh, nice.
I left my real shoes behind the
counter.
They
must have been very comfortable.
So, I couldn't be more proud.
Yeah. I'm too grossed out by, like, whatever.
I'm with you, Dean. I don't want to stick my fingers in those holes.
I don't want to, and that grosses me
Please
out,
Please alert
too.
Nick to the previous comment.
I don't want to do that either. It's gross.
Absolutely true. All right, now, you want to jump right to the movies?
I require a new ball with every throw?
It does get...
And I mean brand new.
It gets a little expensive, and it slows down the game.
Yeah, okay. Elton John movie, Rocket Man's fantastic.
It is.
Everybody is asking, you know, do I like it better or less than Bohemian Rhapsody? I like it the same, and I like Bohemian Rhapsody pretty much. It's told completely differently. Where Bohemian Rhapsody was kind of a straight chronology of what happened in Freddie Mercury's life, this one kind of bounces around. It's as if you were going to see a stage musical about Elton John's life that is told with Elton John music. And if this doesn't become a stage musical, I will eat my hat.
Which one? The one you wear like in the summer when you go cover the kids over at...
Yeah. Whenever Lala. I do any... Yeah, my Lollapalooza hat that I wear all the time.
Seems like the right hat.
And that's kind of a gross hat after all these years. But it's got stage musical written all over it. Taron Egerton does his own singing in this movie. He looks like...
And he's good, right?
He sounds like him. He is very, very good. In a very nuanced performance, you learn a lot about Elton John. The rest of the cast, Bryce Dallas Howard, Richard Madden, is great in the movie, and you will be doing nothing but singing along in this movie.
Rocky Man!
It's the soundtrack of your life if you grew up with these Elton John songs. So Dean's List A on that one. And as much as I like that one,
Daniel is riding tonight.
That's how much I hated Godzilla.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, pretty awful. It is, well, you know, it's a Godzilla movie. I didn't go in expecting, you know, beautiful artistry in this. It's a Godzilla movie, but I expected to be entertained. And it's sloppy, and it's murky, it's dark. It's hard to see things that are going on. It's hard to understand the actors. When you do, can't understand the dialogue.
Well, that's what I feel badly about, because Godzilla is, you know, is a fine actor, and I hope he's not phoning this one in.
Yeah, well, he's clearly been typecast as a giant reptile. You don't even really get any great money shots of the monsters battling in this. It's very, very sloppy.
Sounds stupid.
Yeah, and I was really looking forward to it, and I was really disappointed when I left, and I wound up giving it Dean's List D-.
Before you continue, the Dow is down 264 in the first 2 minutes.
Oh.
Stop looking at the market. All right, what else?
Well, those are the two big movies that are...
Is there any other show business news we need to know?
There's really not a lot. Leon Redbone passed away.
No, I didn't know that.
The singer Leon Redbone.
Sure, great.
They did not announce a cause of death, but in typical Leon Redbone sense of humor, the press release that came out announcing his death said that he was 127 years old.
He was a whack job.
In reality, he was 69. Mm-hmm. Famous for, you know, kind of a vaudevillian style of music, Tin Pan Alley style of music. Very, very popular. And starting in the 1970s, Johnny Carson used to have him on his show all the time. He appeared in, he did a voice of the snowman in the movie Elf. He was on Sesame Street. He had his own Budweiser commercial in the 1980s. I loved his music. I used to like his music. I had all of his 8 tracks.
Any news on the Ellen DeGeneres thing?
Haven't heard anything new about it. The Letterman shows on Netflix, My Next Guest Needs No Introduction, are available starting today. So Ellen's interview, in which she discloses that she was molested by her stepfather, is now available. I'm going to try to watch the whole thing later on tonight. Kanye West. Who else? Tiffany Haddish. Seems like an odd choice, doesn't it?
The Tiffany Haddish thing makes no sense at all.
I mean, he's had Jay-Z, and he's had... you know, some of the greatest actors in the world.
Yeah, megastars.
Tiffany Haddish is, you know, is fine, but maybe in like 20 years. She belongs on that list.
He's ahead of the curve on something here, and we'll find out when we watch it.
No, just because you're the boss doesn't mean that's right.
I know we were a little slow on the entertainment news there, but I just want to let you guys know a listener from the 262 has sent us a picture. A snapping turtle is crossing 402nd Avenue on Lake Benedict, town of Randall, Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Randall, how'd you miss that story?
And you didn't break in right away with that?
I know, sorry. It's a little turtle is on the street, so cars can't go by right now.
6-year-old texter says, money shot, sloppy, what kind of moron entertainment is this?
Yeah, really.
Also, it was pointed out to me by John Williams' producer this week, Elif, that there's an Office episode of Stanley where they discuss, does Stanley have a beard or not a beard, even though they work with him every single day?
Hold on a second. Does Dean have a beard?
No, but similar to Dean's glasses.
Dean's never had a beard,
not knowing.
Yeah, I did a long time ago.
But how
I don't have like a millennium, I work at Whole Foods kind of beard, like everyone has now.
Does Dean have a head?
Back in the day, I did.
Does Dean have a head?
Dean does have a head.
Hey, and the Holzhauser guy gave one again.
He has a finger.
Wow, he's saying I'm number one. That's kind. The Holzhauser guy won again on Jeopardy.
He did.
All right, so are you on Sunday?
I am on Sunday. We'll talk more about the Elton John movie. Your very close personal friend, Elton Jim Toronto, is going to come on with some other super Elton John fans. We've got a whole gaggle of super Elton John fans come on and review the movie. But listen anyway.
That should be great radio and unbelievably annoying to you.
I want to know if you're letting them in studio, or are they just going to be on the phone, Dean?
I haven't decided
yet. Okay, because that you might want to keep some distance.
Look at her bossing you around, too. She's just out of control.
I'm out for his safety, is all.
Right.
Do you have any rules for Dean that you want to establish right now?
Down the lane, man.
Coming up, we're going to be talking about things that Sandberg expects when she starts her new boss job on Monday.
I want a bowling segment just so we could say balls more often.
I wasn't kidding about what I said. Your balls can break Brooklyn. That's an actual bowling thing.
We are 12 years old. You said balls.
My mother's shaking her head right now. Assuming she's still listening. We'll come back with your headlines next on 720 WGN because Steve Grzanich is standing by with it. Thank you, Dean.
From the Chicago White Sox, pitcher Ed Farmer.
One reason the White Sox have enjoyed good success thus far this season would be that man, the big right-hander Ed Farmer, coming on in the bottom of the sixth inning. As Rose gets a bouncer down to Randolph, Willie over to Yount, one and back to first, double play.
To the All-Star game, I had 17 saves. I went from pitching better the year before, saving 14 games, and I saved 30, setting the club record here for saves.
That is a great Ed Farmer. Super Joe, give me the background on that. What is that video again?
Yeah, over the weekend, the White Sox released a video that on their Twitter account just about him growing up on the South Side and now how he's, you know, the announcer for the team, and it's really cool.
It's a good hometown story.
Yeah, mm-hmm. How like the way he grew up and you know where he is now.
We are efforting Ed. We wanted to laud him continuously, but we're still trying to find him. Where's the team?
They're here.
They're playing home this weekend.
Yes. Okay. Cleveland Indians, game two of the series tonight.
Okay.
They're on a four-game winning streak.
They're on a four-game winning streak.
So it's a four-game weekend series.
It is a four-game weekend series, and if they win tonight and win tomorrow, they will be in second place in the division behind only the Minnesota Twins.
There you go. Twins are ridiculous how well they've played.
Yeah, except they lost yesterday 14-3, but that's going to happen. Happens to everybody.
Yeah, they were awfully mean to the White Sox last weekend.
They were very mean.
Yeah.
That's the word you would use. There are a lot of ebbs and flows to the season, as you know, Steve. It is a long season. Even the good teams have their little valleys.
I think that's probably true.
Right?
Ed Farmer, by the way, does not apply to the normal policy of the show, which is if you blow off the show in a guest slot, you're never invited back. Ed gets a couple of free passes.
Yeah, and I moved him from his regular slot on Thursday, so
right. it could have been confusing.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk to Mary now. Mary is starting her boss job on Monday, a texter writes. That means this is the last Friday she's going to work all summer. Yeah, it's pretty much true. You could, we were talking about bowling with Dean. You could bowl down the main hallway in the office section here on a Friday afternoon. There's nobody here.
Remember we used to have a bocce ball set? I'm not sure where that is, and there would actually be bocce ball in the hallway on Friday.
Yeah. I think DeCastro took it with him, didn't he?
Yeah, possibly.
Another bocce balling up BBM. Sandberg, the staff is going to want to know, so I'm going to hit you with a couple of questions here. What is the best way to reach you if we have a question?
If you have a question, you can send me...
I mean, should we call you, text you, email you?
Don't call me. So... You can text me if it's an immediate question. If it's a long term, we can go email.
All right. So what would it, because you know my opinion of what's immediate may be different.
Right. Right.
Are you going to unfriend us on Facebook and Instagram, or can we continue following?
We can continue following each other. Yeah.
Will you start a new account under a different name?
Yeah. I'm not worried about my own posts, but I'll be combing through all of yours. I use it as a tool now still to let everybody know what people are up to.
So Mary now goes to the restricted category.
Right.
I have the very important question.
Go ahead.
It's really going to affect me. I want to know if she's going to continue baking for the morning show because I can't do it alone.
Yes. Well, that's one of my first things, Mary, in the transition of the morning show is this cannot all fall on Mary. It will not fall on me, but it will not fall on Mary.
Will you, nor should it, will you continue to treat me as important as I think I am?
Yes, I will continue to do that.
Okay.
I've already cut out lunches, though. I have a meeting on Monday with our sales manager, John Gallagher, and he said, can we have meet for lunch? I want to meet on Monday at noon. And I said, I can do the meeting part, but can I cut out lunch because I want to be more efficient with my time, especially because during this transition, I'm still doing a lot of the morning show
stuff. Well, also you hate having lunch with people.
I'm just setting right away.
She likes to eat alone in the pedway, though.
I do like to eat alone in the pedway, yeah.
Have you heard my impression of Sandberg? Ask me if I want to go to lunch.
Hey, Mary, would you like to go to lunch?
I really don't.
I mean, I just don't. I don't enjoy really watching.
But so. People can stalk you in the Pedway. That's where they'll find you.
They will. They will. Yeah.
All right. So the first two rules are don't call and no lunches.
And no lunches.
What if someone has a problem with a show host? How do you recommend they handle it?
Guys, I've got Ed Farmer calling my phone. So maybe, Michael, will you call Ed Farmer? He's calling me right now. Okay. I'm sorry.
Problem with a show host. How would you recommend the staff handles that?
The staff.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. Let's say that Dave has a complaint about me. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to deal with me because he's got to deal with me every day.
Sure.
How would you recommend he handles it?
He will tell me that. He'll tell me.
So you're open to those types of things?
I'm open to that, yes.
And then you'll go to Steve and say, hey, Dave doesn't like what you're doing. And then Steve and I don't talk.
Yeah.
And it ruins a relationship that's gone on for 25 years or whatever it's been.
Yeah. So we're going to end leaving a bunch of dishes in the sink.
That has got to stop.
That is, I'm just going to take away the dishes.
Well, it was glasses. There was glass. There were like 20 glasses.
I know. Yeah. I'm taking them away. So then.
All right. So let me just go through the first three rules. We can build this list. But the first three rules, don't call you.
Don't call me.
No lunches.
No lunches.
And we'll listen to bitching within reason.
Yes.
Okay.
This is true. However, I am not hosting pitch meetings. So if you've got an idea and stuff, we're not blocking off tons of time for that.
What are you supposed to do with ideas? What if creativity needs to be knocked around? This is show business.
You can create an elevator pitch. Make it a 30-second video. Send it to me. I'll review it on my own, and I'll make notes, and then we can meet to discuss. But we're not going to sit there and go hash things out.
So that idea meeting they had on Fridays or whatever, that's gone?
What's a greater nightmare to you? Lunch with me and three other comedians or a pitch meeting with half the staff?
That's a tough call.
How about refrigerator theft? What's your position?
I'm going to be policing refrigerator
camera?
Theft.
If people are stealing refrigerators, we got a real issue.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, they're stealing yogurt.
The Great Ed Farmer joins us now. Glad we woke you up, buddy. Sorry about that.
I was in the shower.
Oh, well, you obviously got things to do today. And this White Sox team, I don't know what state of undress you're in, but this White Sox team is hot.
It's amazing when you hit the cutoff man, good things happen.
You have preached this for as long as I've known you, and it's been a long time. Get the fundamentals right.
Exactly right. I mean, Darren and I preach that every single day. Darren goes down and talks to the guys. I don't do that a lot. He's a current, more current than I am, to listen to what he says. And he just goes down with the coach, and they'll talk, and hopefully iron things out. But we played solid baseball yesterday. There were two great plays, one by their shortstop and one by ours. And Anderson robbed their shortstop of a hit, Francisco Lindor, from his hand, sat down. I mean, it was just an unbelievable play. The ball beat him. He caught it on one hop, sat down, and threw his butt on the ground all the way over to first base and got him by a stride. Then later, Lindor robbed him up the middle, diving, got up and threw him out. Two of the great plays, and it's fun to watch, let's say that.
I got
to
tell you, as much as I love baseball, I really am probably an exception because I love a great defensive play more than I love anything except, I don't know, game-winning home run, I suppose, in the bottom of the ninth might be more exciting. But a great defensive play is tremendous.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch a baseball game in progress and everybody's doing their job, what goes unnoticed occasionally is Eloy Jimenez, the kid in left field, learning how to play at the big league level. I watched him yesterday. There was a play at third base, and I looked. He's backing up third. He's running as fast as he can. He backs up third in case the ball gets away. I mean, you don't see that from a kid 20 years old or 21 years of age.
Dave, say hi, Eddie.
Ed, good morning. What are you seeing from Eloy Jimenez since he came back from his injury? And, he had a three-hit game last night.
Yeah, well, he's just got all his talent. I mean, you see this. I had the scouting director up there yesterday, Nick Hostetler. We're having the draft on Monday for Major League Baseball. This is a kid that, he's just far beyond what you expect. I mean, he's in the big leagues. He's performing okay with the bat, learning how to play left field. But he's a great kid, and he listens to the coaches. And they're working with him every day in the outfield. They're working with him every day hitting. And he's just got star qualities written all over him. Plus, he's in the dugout with the guys. As you could see last night on some of the tapes, there were some of the things that were run about the White Sox. They showed our dugout before the game. They were all dancing. And he was one of the leaders. So he was just a leader at that age of 21 or 20. And he's just volumes ahead of where people should be. But he's a great kid. And he's going to be a sensational player in the big league. It's just a brush of a star right now of what he is.
Jose Abreu's got 15 home runs. He's hitting one about every 15 at-bats. That's just a nudge above the best power hitters in the game. Statistically, you get one out of every 12 or 13. You're going to lead the league in home runs. And one out of 15 is a pretty good number. Is he, you know, is he coming into form in his best season yet? And, you know, his prime time is nothing but ahead?
Steve, I think that's a great question because he's been in and out of his swing this year. And yesterday I said, this is a good spot for a two-run homer. The next pitch he hits for a home run at the right field. And remember this. He's a star at first base. He's a star with the bat. But what he brings to the Latin players, they go to him like, he has time for them to tell them about this or that. It's outstanding.
And that's the thing because, you know, you can bring intangibles like leadership in the clubhouse, even if you're not a guy that talks to the media every day. You talk to your team, and that's what really matters because you want to go in and win.
Well, that's what it is. I mean, Mancada pays attention to him. Jimenez pays attention to him. Our whole team pays attention to him. It's just not singling out the kids from Latin America, but it's our whole team. He is a leader, but he's very quiet guy. And just he's got a big heart. He's just a great person. And that's what we have on our team. We have great people. I don't think there's one bad guy that I've met on our team. And that's very, very unusual.
Let's keep this roll going. And by the way, Eddie loves golf as much as I do. And I don't know that you've heard, but our mutual friend Emil Esposito and the great golf writer Lenny Zeme both went into the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame last night.
Been a long time for Esposito. I'm going to tell you something. These guys molded it for me anyway. I had the Esposito family living two blocks away.
Mm-hmm.
And John and Bob were great players, and that sort of made its way to my swing as well. I still see Bobby. Bobby works for us with the White Sox in our ticket office, but I haven't seen John. And John was one of the top left-handed golfers in the country at one time.
And Emo, you know, it's funny because everybody I ran into yesterday, Ed, they went, what do you mean? Emo wasn't in already? And it's great that he's in because everybody who has come across Emo Esposito in any way, shape, or form loves him.
Yeah, I mean, it felt better if you just met him, you felt like you knew him your whole life.
Yep,
and exactly right. Good. It was great enough to say, hey, you know, with your swing, I might do this, but do what you want. But you try this. Just go ahead and try it.
Yep.
There's no force on him.
Yep.
That's what he told me.
Yep.
He told me my grip. Well, never mind.
He said, told me to retire.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've hit a few shots where he goes, what'd you do that for?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Why did you do that? I wasn't sure.
But that's with Fred's. Anyway, he's still a great teacher and still doing it at 81 years old. And, man, I couldn't be happier for him. He's a good friend.
These are great things.
Yeah, that's good. That's what life's about. All right, Ed Farmer, keep it going, buddy.
Before we go, we take a lot of knocks in the city of Chicago. But I'm going to tell you something. This is the great place to play. You can't play here for either. You should quit the game of baseball because the fans come out, they pay their money, and they're rooting for their team. And I'm going to say this right now. This is the greatest city I've ever been in, and I live in Southern California. But this is the place that works, and it really does. Sensational. Yeah.
Well said. Yeah, well said, buddy. All right, thank you, man. We appreciate it. Keep
Thanks,
it going.
Thanks,
and you'll hear Ed and DJ and Andy Mazur and all of our little friends. Because it's a team of thousands putting together White Sox baseball.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, it's a pleasure to say Elise Glink joins us now. It's been too long. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Steve?
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Can we have you on more often, or are you too busy?
No, I just give me a call. I'm always happy to chat with you in the morning.
All right, so property taxes. I don't know if you know this. I'm not a big Mike Madigan fan. I've rarely brought it up. And there are some reform measures that Fritz Kage, the assessor, was trying to get through yesterday. They died in committee with Madigan. So how in God's name could we ever think he's up to some sort of shenanigans with his property tax appeal firm? Point being to all of this, aside from the Madigan nonsense, is skepticism abides. So Fritz Kage could be the most well-meaning guy in the world, but these changes that are already put in place that I'd like you to explain, how do we know they're going to help us?
I don't think we know, but in some ways, change is good, and it would be good to modernize what we do with taxes. So just to, you know, go back in time a little bit, the reason that we're paying 2018 taxes now in 2019, something that very, very, very few places do in this country, goes all the way back to the Great Depression. And so in the Great Depression, and this is kind of where it all started, I think, people in Cook County couldn't afford to pay their taxes, and so many people didn't pay their taxes that they had kind of a tax cancellation. So if you didn't pay them, you had to pay them in arrears. And pretty soon everybody was paying them in arrears. So that's why we pay taxes a year late, so to speak. In terms of modernization, nothing much has happened since then, I think. And it's really unfair how taxes are assessed. Now, in the state of Illinois, they're supposed to be assessed at around 2.3% of the actual value, and that would be great. It would make us, it makes us the second highest in the country, which is awful. And we have something called a fractional assessment because residential property is assessed at 10% of so-called market value, where commercial and industrial properties is assessed at 25% of market value. But you never know where market value is, and that only gets reassessed every 3 to 4 years. And so now you see why we're in the quandary we're in. And so Kage came in and said, well, let's modernize this. Let's be like the rest of the world. And it all ensued after that.
So what am I missing here in regards to why we couldn't no longer pay them in arrears and come up with something that over the course of 3 to 5 years gets us back to the standard everybody else uses and the way we all pay our bills?
Right. I think the problem here was not actually residential property tax. You know, from what I've seen and what I read about it, Kiki was looking at the way that office property and right. commercial property is overhauled. And, you know, the problem with that is that how do you value commercial property? So when investors go and they buy buildings and they try to figure out how much a building on Michigan Avenue is worth, what they do is they look at the rent that the landlord is getting. And the rents are really the measure of building's value. Plus, there's some about the materials and the land. It's, you know, it's a little bit of a complicated formula that different investors use. But if a building has no renters, no tenants, it's worth a whole lot less than if it has tenants. And so I think what he was trying to get at is the owners of the building would have to disclose what the rent that people are paying, you know, what that is. And I think that those building owners were like, no, if I do that, then you'll know how much the building is really worth, and I'll pay more in taxes. And so that's the problem. And yes, it's interesting that this was completely shut down by Madigan, and it probably shouldn't be.
Yeah, and obviously what you just described now makes perfect sense. And as Trump likes to say, he's been totally transparent as to why this went on with Madigan, because the last thing he wants is for his clients to reveal what they really have in property value as opposed to what they pay in taxes.
Yeah, it is really unfair. I think we should go to a different system where, and there are a lot of different ways the taxes are assessed around the country, but this idea that, you know, we don't know what property is really worth. And if you looked at your own taxes, right, everybody's tax bills are just coming out now, right? They're due July 3rd on the residential side. And, you know, if you look at what it says that your property is worth, you probably had a heart attack because, of course, the last time Cook County was reassessed was 3 years ago. And supposedly, you know, properties, you know, are all rebounding in value. And so I looked at our bill and I was like, ouch. That's a lot more than I thought.
Right.
I think everybody's having that feeling right now, and it's pretty scary.
So what can we do? Do you recommend going through the appeal process?
100%. Absolutely go through the appeal process. There are a couple of different ways for you as a homeowner to prove value to the system. You have to look up to the tax classification of your property. You can do this online now at the Cook County Assessor's Office website. You then have to look at other homes in the neighborhood in the same tax classification, and you go around with your phone or your camera, if you still use an old-fashioned device like that, and take pictures of these other homes and look up information about them and show why your home is actually, you, of course, you want to pick the houses that are paying less in tax than yours, right? That goes without saying. And then you show why yours is actually worth even less than them, and you go in with your proof, and then they consider it. And usually there's a, you know, a pretty good outcome. Now, for people who don't want to do this, there are attorneys that go and they fight property taxes for you.
And Madigan does the, Madigan's firm does the commercial side of that, right?
Correct. He does it for commercial side, right? And there are a lot of other famous names that do it, too. But what I like about the attorneys that do it for residential is they don't take anything up front. They only get a share of the savings, the first year savings. So if you need some help in this, you know, look online, check references, talk to your friends and neighbors and family members who have actually done this with somebody. Make sure they got good results, and then you can try that as well.
All right. So how do you know you're finding the right firm to deal with? Are they rated anywhere?
Well, the nice thing about the internet, Steve, is everybody's rated online. I'm sure you're rated online. I'm sure I'm rated online.
But we're all rated in a way that may, I know you're going to think I'm crazy, may not be entirely correct. So,
really?
So what do we go by? Word of mouth from our neighbors? They had success? This firm might be right for me kind of thing?
I think that's an excellent way to go, and you want to ask about the kinds of results they're getting, and you want to make sure that you're not paying any money up front for this. I do think you need to go online and Google the person's name, make sure that they don't have any complaints against them. So what I usually do is I put the name of something I'm checking into Google, and then I put complaints next to it, those two words in the search bar, and up will pop anything that has those two things in the same story. And that's a good way to at least find out if, you know, the attorney's under indictment, for example.
Yeah, which would be a big deal.
Yeah, and not a good thing for you because they'll be busy fighting their own court case instead of your own.
What is a fair expectation in an assessment appeal? Can you even have one?
In this state, what have we just been talking about?
Yeah, okay. Stop yelling.
I don't know that there's a fair expectation, but I know that everybody is grateful for every dollar that they don't have to pay in property taxes. So it's worth doing it and spending a little time just to, you know, see if it'll all work out and what reduction that you will get. And I will say, I think it's pretty fair also. There's another way. If you've recently bought or sold a home, there's a, if you sold, it doesn't really matter, except it might matter to the owner, the new owner. But if you bought a home, oftentimes you can use the purchase price as a way to go in and say, listen, this is the actual value of my home, not this cockamamie number that you've come up with, and you should be assessing me based on the actual market value that I've just paid. And oftentimes that will work. And for people who are finding, especially in the North Shore and in some of the western suburbs, that their property's value has taken another nosedive, this might be a way to help that. So if you've bought a property and you paid not very much for it because it's, say, Lake Forest, which is, relatively speaking, of course, but, you know, far below what the tax assessment would infer that your value was, that's how you would go in and fight it.
A call from Charmaine. Let me go here. Charmaine, you are, I'm sorry, Charmaine Beach is where Dennis is calling from. Can I call you Charmaine, Dennis? Would that be all right?
Yeah, that's my wife. The account's in her name for some reason. That's why it keeps showing up like that.
No worries.
My question is, I haven't had a child in school for years.
Okay.
Why is it that seniors, and I'm getting close to that, okay, I'm 4 years away from retirement. Why is it seniors continue to pay toward their school district and their property taxes when they haven't had kids in school forever?
This is done pretty much around the country, isn't it? I mean, it's fun or feels good, but isn't this done around the country, at least?
It is, actually. But seniors can take advantage of a senior freeze of property taxes. And
how does that work?
That's actually, it freezes the assessed value of the residence at a certain value the year prior to the first year it's applied for. And you have to be 65 years of age to do it. It's income limited to six people who earn $65,000 a year. And you must file for the senior exemption by July 1st of every year. And you can get that out of if you go to the, I think that's, those are some of the rules, but if you go to the assessor's office, you can do that. But I wanted to just quickly answer the question of why seniors should still pay for schools. You know, everybody pays for neighborhood services, right? And you pay for schools because the idea is if your school is good, the value of your property stays up compared to neighborhoods where schools are not as good. And so studies over many, many decades have shown that, you know, better school systems draw more people to the neighborhood. And so it's worth continuing to pay that and to keep up schools. So it's good for everybody.
But you only reap the value of that if you sell, though.
That's correct. You reap the value of it as you sell. And for people who stay in their houses, eventually at some point in time, the property will be sold. It does feel like now you're paying and you're not getting any value out of it. And I get that, but I don't know. The Tax Modernization Act, I'm not quite sure how that's supposed to work into play, but the senior exemption will help a little bit as you get to 65.
Take advantage of that senior exemption when you get there, Dennis. And I get your frustration, but that's one that's not going to change anytime soon. Meanwhile, at 9:25, we thank you, Elise Glink, for taking time to be on the show. And we invite everyone, everybody, men, women, children, pets, go to thinkglink.com. And get all the information you need right there. I mean, it's all there, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Meaning of life, what love is all about, who was the captain and Captain Antonio. I mean, all your answers are there.
That's true. That's true. Although, if you go to my Instagram page, what you'll see is a heart that somebody was drawing in the sky in California yesterday where I was, and I took a picture of it. So you might find that on Instagram instead of all the real estate answers on thinklink.com.
Dave, you see what Elise did there?
Yes.
She knows how simple I am, and she knows I'm like a, you know, if I see something shiny, I'll like it. So she wants to send me to look at the heart in the sky.
Yeah. See, I could see you doing that, too.
And by the way, she's not wrong.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Elise, thank you.
It's a pleasure. See you soon.
That's Elise Glink. ThinkGlink.com. Patty Vasquez is in Springfield, where they're trying to wrap up session today and solve 900 things. We'll talk to her in just a second.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Been a couple days, but you know the photog that got hit by the first pitch from the woman on the White Sox, the employee of the month? Or employee of the day? What was it? Employee of the week?
Employee of the month, I believe.
Anyway, his name is Darren Georgia. He's going to be on with us in a few minutes. Our friend Patty Vasquez, every night on the radio at a time that I never get to listen to because it's the middle of my night. But
Fortunately, it's all available on podcast.
Yeah, and I never miss a second.
I believe you.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi, Patty's in Springfield and keeping an eye on Springfield so we don't have to. On this final day of session, is anything going to get done?
Sure. What do you want? You want pot? You want gambling? You want women's health? A budget? Capital spending bill? We got it going on right now.
I didn't know it all had to be. It all has to go. Why don't we start with the budget? Are we going to have a budget?
No. Yes.
No.
That's what I heard yesterday. I heard both of those answers yesterday.
In partisan fashion?
Everybody changed their mind throughout the day. In the morning, everyone was like, we're going to be able to get this done. The problem was not that much happened yesterday, except for what rates will be instituted once if the amendment is passed on the ballot next year. That's the only thing of importance, I think, that has gotten done.
What's your bet?
What's my bet? Oh, boy. We're going to legalize recreational marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to pass the women's health bill. They're going to pass.
By the way, the women's health bill is in no small part a way to not have what's happened in Arkansas and a bunch of states. Alabama.
It's basically, right. Georgia, Louisiana. I think they're moving in Ohio that direction. Missouri, I believe, is about to lose their last clinic. So.
Yeah, and I said Arkansas. I don't think Arkansas is true yet. But anyway, they're essentially they're blowing off the Constitution in complete ways, and it'll all have to be court tested to the Supreme Court. And you got to give Illinois credit that at least you're going to follow the law in this case.
It's basically to protect what is already there, the way we have had women's health since Roe v. Wade was passed in 1973.
Right. All right, so the gambling thing.
Yes.
This is casinos hoping to get a little more casino access in exchange for freeing up the FanDuels of the world. Is that going to happen?
I think so. But that's the one that seems to be the most tenuous. Going back and forth on that. Yesterday, it seemed like it was not going to move at all, and then there was some action last night. So I haven't heard more. I'm not at the Capitol. I'm across the street because I had Hardee's after my show last night, and I'm trying to decide how much indigestion I can handle this morning.
Well, having Hardee's at midnight is always a good idea, or 1 o'clock is always a good idea. I can't believe there's a Hardee's in Springfield open at 1 a.m., but that's another story.
24 hours, baby.
Well, that's, you got to eat somewhere. Who will you talk to today once this passes? And I don't mean the legislation.
What do we have? What are you asking?
I said, who will you talk to today for the show tonight, or the show Sunday night, I should say, if this passes?
We are talking to everybody. We're talking to Representative Martwick. We've talked to everybody on both sides of the aisle, because here's the thing. What people really need to know is there are men and women working to rebuild trust, mm-hmm. and they know it's a heavy lift. Nobody likes having to pay for mistakes that have happened in the past from both sides. But that's where we are. Mm-hmm. We're trying to right this ship, and we hit a massive iceberg. We hit it straight on. I think we actually went full speed ahead. We saw iceberg. Just go ahead and hit it.
Well, there's nothing wrong with saying it's not fair, because it's not fair. But but you got to work together to stop the screw up from continuing.
Right, I agree. And if anyone's interested, I encourage you, because today they have 14 and a half hours to get this all done. Mm-hmm. So midnight. After midnight, anything that they want to do in the summer session requires a two-thirds majority. Right now, it's a simple majority in both chambers.
Okay.
So it's a much heavier lift if it doesn't get done today. So you can go to ilga.gov and watch either the Senate or the House of Representatives debating all the issues going on for the rest of the day.
Super important.
It'll be exciting, I swear.
Super important, and you know how to have a good time.
I really do.
Patty, thank you. You'll be back on the radio Sunday night, right?
I'll be back tonight.
Oh, you're doing tonight? Well, then why are we talking about Sunday? So you're on the radio from Springfield, or will you be back here?
I'm going to drive back. I mean, you know, I would love to stay, but I got family.
Yeah. Well, be careful of that Hardee's thing.
All right.
I'll talk to you. Thank you. Thanks for coming on.
Here was the ceremonial first pitch. Look out. Oh, no.
That was ceremonial, okay.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
I turn my camera on. I cut my fingers on the way.
It's the wind-up, the kick, and the pitch. Oh! Hit him right in the camera.
How often do you see that?
Darren Georgia joins us. He got famous in a way he didn't expect to be earlier this week. All he's doing is Dave, he's minding his business. He's not hurting anybody.
Nope.
He's just standing there shooting a shot. Got the employee of the month right there. This is a cool thing. She's going to throw out the first pitch. All of a sudden, Darren went, that ball looks like it's coming right at me. And where did it hit you, Darren?
It actually hit just right on the camera, just right in between the flash and the lens. So luckily, no damage done
you could
to the camera
been
or myself.
Killed! Okay, maybe I'm exaggerating just slightly. I felt for her, but she seemed to take it really well.
Yeah, no, I mean, she handled it no more than I would have expected. I probably would have reacted the same way.
I mean, all you can do is laugh.
It was everything about it was just absolutely hilarious. And she is such a sweet lady. She brought me a cake and some cookies. She felt so bad. But
that's nice.
She's definitely deserving of her Employee of the Month status still, I think. But it was definitely a wild first pitch.
Now, is there a chance, Dave, she could be brought in as a reliever only to throw to first base? Because she seems to be strong to the left side.
Yeah, that would be kind of interesting. I would think she's already got the lock on an employee for the month again. after this. Yeah. Or maybe Darren, maybe you are.
Yeah, Darren should get a Purple Heart. You know, a baseball version. Oh, a baseball version. Yeah.
I think she should do Employee of the Month again and get another shot at that first pitch. I
well, that's the thing. That's the thing. Is there any talk of a do-over?
You know, not that I'm aware of. It's been a kind of a hectic 24 hours, but I would imagine that we'll have her either hopefully have her out to do it again because I think she's definitely deserving of it.
And when that happens, where will you be?
Same spot, making sure I get that same shot.
Really? Good for you.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen other bad first pitches?
I mean, aside from the ones that we all have, you know, we've all seen on the internet with 50 Cent and the one in Boston.
Right, but there's a million of them that you'll never see that are two hoppers that, you know, go straight to the catcher or whatever. I mean, you know, when I threw out the first pitch, I was told by Ed Farmer, who thought it was hysterical, Steve, you don't want to bounce it. You don't want to bounce it. Throw it as hard as you can. And I did. And you remember James Baldwin,
yep,
pitch
sure.
for the White Sox?
Yeah, yeah.
Baldwin was not pitching that day, so he was my catcher. He's probably 6'2", 3", 4". He leapt with his arm straight out to the left and snow-coned it, or it would have gone straight into the stands. So
yeah, I've definitely seen a few of those and a few two-hoppers, but nothing coming right at me.
Well, I'm glad you guys are still friends. And you took it like a champ, man. You've been nothing but great and all the talking you had to do about it. Dave, you get the last word.
Yeah, Darren, the one thing I haven't seen is... Was there an actual picture of the ball hitting your lens? I don't think I've seen that.
There wasn't. So with the first pitches, I just take the one shot. Okay. We don't do high shutter because with the flash, if you do high shutter, the flash doesn't go off and then the lighting's off.
I got you.
There's a lot of it. But I just have the one of the release right before she does. And I've had a lot of people ask the same question and unfortunately did not get the ball coming straight at the camera.
So there is no Zapruder film. There's no second bad pitcher behind the grassy knoll.
Unfortunately not.
So have you gotten any offers, you know, endorsement offers or anything where people will throw stuff at you in a commercial?
No, but the guy who threw out the first pitch yesterday said he wanted to pump fake one at me just to see how I would react.
Hilarious. Oh, so funny. All right, man. Well, you're a good sport. Thanks for coming on. Let's give Darren something off the air, and don't tell the White Sox we did it. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
No problem. You have a good one.
All right, hold the line. That's Darren Georgia.
Yeah, he is a good sport.
He's a good guy. Yeah. Hey, Mike, give him everything that you have. Most of your stuff. It's 9:48.
His car?
When we come back, we're going to do... I don't know that I've ever done this. I don't know that I've ever sent somebody off one of my shows, and trust me, there's been a lot of them, one of my shows off to management. I don't think that's ever happened. Mary Sandberg Boyle is leaving the show. She's going to occasionally appear on the show, but she will be a management weasel as of Monday. Mm-hmm. And so we'll do sort of a soft goodbye. You know, like a soft grand opening? We'll do a soft goodbye in a second because we're certainly not getting rid of her. She's still going to be around.
This is a great opportunity for you to ingratiate yourself to management.
Be the first, man. The first. And why not? There's always a first. So anyway, we'll get Sandberg back in here. She literally, this is what a short-timer's attitude she has. She doesn't start officially till Monday. She left the show at 9 o'clock to go to a meeting with the other weasels. That's outrageous.
Big job, Steve.
It's outrageous.
She's going to help run this place.
Shocked. Can't you tell how shocked I am by her behavior? It's 9:49, and also we'll get Bill and Wendy in here shortly to help us figure out, you know, the basic questions we might have to ask Mary Sandberg. We've already determined that three of her rules, and we did this before she left the room, were don't call her unless you have to. No lunch is ever. You can have lunch, but not with her. And she'll listen to bitching within reason. And those are just the first three.
And no dishes in the kitchen.
And no dishes in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Okay. And no fun ever. It's 9:50, back in a moment on 720 WGN.
I remember when I saw her face. She put Jimmy DeCastro in his place.
Oh, God.
They asked her if she could just produce. She said, why do you think I'm here?
Hello.
She took over the Cochran Morning Show.
Thank God.
She worked with everyone to make it go.
Her way.
Her only focus now to make it grow.
Hold on. What's that? A brand new washer and dryer?
Are very sweet and nice and
ooh, 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 ooh.
The truth is we're terrified,
she
is Mary, Mary, Mary. She is Mary Sandra.
It's always funny.
She is Mary, Mary, Mary.
It's 9:53.
That's his best work.
Oh, you think so?
I do.
Because there's another one.
No.
John DeCostra. Just good morning, John.
Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing?
I did not authorize this guest.
So I called John. I called John yesterday, or I texted John yesterday, and I said, we're going to sort of say goodbye to Sandberg tomorrow morning. You available? And he goes, oh, yeah. And he wanted to know what your title was. So I gave him your title.
Okay.
And then I didn't know he was going to do this. And last night I was coming back from up north in the Emil Esposito Hall of Fame thing for the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame. And he had done a new song, which you're going to debut right now. Is that right, John?
That is right. Yeah, I apologize. Yes, we're debuting right now.
All right. Do I need to know anything about this?
No, you don't. Well, you never know anything anyway, Steve. Don't worry about it.
Just ahead of that, John, if you don't mind, Oscar is on the phone. Oscar, you have a particular something in regards to Sandberg leaving? Oscar, are you with me?
Do you have him on?
Nope.
I wouldn't do that in front of management.
Hey, Oscar, how are you? So far, it's working out like a dream. Anyway, Oscar said he was promised prizes when you leave.
Oh, no. He's getting no prizes. Thank you for listening. I'm going to cut down on prizes.
All right, here's the new Sandberg song from John DeCoss.
This is a great song.
It's time that we say goodbye. And farewell wishes to Mary Sandberg. She's moving so far away. 9 feet 6 inches. Her focus switches. Yeah. It's bittersweet and sad and happy at the same time. It's sensible and practical. Oh yeah. We'll see her every day, but at a new time. Past 10. I can tell you right now, this move's a factor. Wow, when she says get it done, dear God, just don't say how. She broke the ceiling of glass. She's here to kick some. Her patience takes its toll. Just run when her eyes roll. And if the ratings slip, she'll bring them up with chocolate chips. You're the best, we all agree. So thank you, MSB. We love you, MSB. We'll miss you, MSB. Mary.
That's actually very sweet. That's very sweet. I mean, I expected something a little nastier. That's very nice.
I wasn't going for the jugular.
That's very nice. And you made Sandberg cry. I got to tell you something, Mary. You got to leave now.
I know.
That song was nice enough. You can't stay. You can't stay and keep the management job. You have to leave the radio station, if not the state of Illinois.
I like that he got an eye roll in there.
That's the eye roll.
Yep, I'm an
eye roller. Isn't MSB food additive?
It's MSG, I think.
MSG,
oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
All right, before we run out of time here, we do need to establish a few other rules. What are you going to do about scheduling?
Scheduling how?
Like if somebody, wants to get time off, what's your rule?
Yeah, I'm going to need notice.
Notice.
Okay. Notice and more notice.
Uh-oh.
You're also going to have to enter it into Workday like the rest of the people in the world.
Mary,
come on.
What if it is 10 o'clock at night and all of a sudden I'm feeling ill and
that's a great
can't
point.
Make it in tomorrow morning? Should I text you or call you at home? Or
you
how
should text me.
Okay.
And Steve Grzanich, you and I started on the same day, so you have carte blanche's access to me.
Okay.
Nice. You've got your grandfathered in there.
I've known you the longest.
You have known me the longest, right. Wendy. So you're, but I.
What if I hit five a.m. traffic and I'm going to be a little close?
You're going to be on time every single day, Steve, because as I've said before, yes. I am part of the Steve Cochran coaching tree,
and I have
raised up to a new position, and you want your prospects to do well and look good, and in order for me to look
that's
good,
true.
You got to come
it's
on
true.
Time.
It's totally so manipulative.
It is. We have solved that problem.
It's completely manipulative, but it is true.
You need me to look good.
Now, here's one thing: scheduling vacations because at the end of the year, everybody takes the same time off, and we've got volunteers from the street we're pulling in to do shows in the last 2 weeks of December. How are you going to fix that?
I don't know that you and I see the same problem there. because every listener is also on vacation.
Vacation
at that time
denied.
Anyway.
but you're like everyone's vacation schedule in how early?
As early as you planned your vacation.
Yeah, well, I usually do it a week ahead of time.
Well, you and I, your project, my continued project, which was stressed in every interview I had for this next position, that you know you're still going to have to work heavily with the morning show and Steve Cochran. Yes, I do.
Mary, what
did that come from all of them? Every level?
Every level said that. Nice.
What about infrastructure, bridges, airports, this sort of thing? What are we going to do about that?
I'm doing a potholes first.
Potholes first.
Oh, that's a good answer.
We've also cut down on drama. I'm not dealing with drama.
So no lunches, no drama?
No lunches, no drama.
Wow, that's quite a slogan.
Yeah, we deal in facts here. Mm. That's what, maybe I'll get a sign from my office.
Anyone else have a question for Sandberg? Anyone at all?
How long is this going to last?
Forever. Until the day you die.
I just wanted to say, if it's okay, Mary, I need today off.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Dan.
Well, based on that song, I think you should give him the whole weekend.
That was very nice.
It was very
sweet. I'm irritated that I like it.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah,
you actually,
good work, John.
Honestly, you actually even cried, sort of angry.
I know. I didn't want to be moved. So then I was. So
you're fired. You moved her.
Yeah. So.
Well, listen.
God,
you know. You made the show better.
Thank you.
And my son used to work on this show, and that's a lot for me to say.
Yeah,
that.
Nothing like following his footsteps. That was challenging.
And we're still going to be working together, but thank you for everything you've done so far.
Thank you.
And congratulations. Look at me. You don't dare look at me.
I don't want to look at you.
Congratulations. Congratulations. You deserve it. You're going to make this place better, and I'm proud of you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm excited. And I'm still committed to new appliances and the proper paper products.
Mm-hmm. Can we get a Coke machine?
No.
Come on.
Steve, your show has had almost no turnover since you started.
Who's next?
Wow.
Bertrand's going to leave during this newscast.
Hey, me and Dave are still here.
We're still here.
Yeah.
I don't know about
office.
Monday.
Is that okay?
I don't know if that says that it's good to work for me or you have no other options. I don't know what that means.
Both.
All right, we'll come back with Bill and Wendy in a moment. Coming up, stories of matter. And Steve Grzanich from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom will be there on WGN Radio in just a second. But first, we need to find out what you guys are doing today. You doing a goodbye show for Sandberg?
Yes. Yes, we are.
Yeah. Anything in particular you have planned?
We're going to talk about measles, because even though Bill and I had the measles and you may have gotten a shot, you may need a booster. Did you know this?
Yeah, I didn't know that. But how do you know you had them?
Because I remember.
You know.
John, did you have the measles?
Dave, that would be Dave. Oh,
no! I love
right to the last second. You got to produce, don't you? I'm sorry, John. Go ahead.
No, I'm a Beatles fan.
Beatles. I honestly don't remember if I had the measles.
We're told you can get them more than once. I didn't know that.
You can get re-measled?
You can re-measled.
That's what we got to find out, because I'm worried. Now I don't know if I did. I know I had the chicken pox.
What if you get the new measles? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, the new measles.
Measles 2.0.
If you had chicken pox, you can get shingles.
I did. Yeah,
which I've had.
Me too.
Yeah. Boy, I didn't know that. If you had to get whooping cough, you can get an appendicitis.
Yes. Yeah. We'll discuss that.
A lot of people don't know that.
Great length.
Hey, Ronnie Whoop Whoop. Remember him?
Why are you leaving, Mary? I'm curious.
Sandberg, we love you. Go be a manager. Creep. It's time now for Wendy to say this.